Podcast is a production of the WJPA Sports Network, presented by CNX Foundation.
Good afternoon and welcome to President's Football Preview here on WJPA. This afternoon, the Washington and Jefferson College Presidents end the regular season at Allegheny. President's Football Preview comes to you prior to Washington and Jefferson College football every week. I'm Mark Uriah, and we will start out talking, as we always do, with W&J head football coach Mike Sirianni. Mike, let's go back a couple of weeks to the win at Case. You know, watching that game, I just could not believe that nothing. I mean, Zach Cernuto was open all day. I think he's still open.
Yeah, I mean, we run. Obviously, I've talked about the system of our offense as an RPR, RPO offense, and we ran a lot of split zone with him, where he comes across the formation and leaks into the flat, or we wheel him up the sideline, same similar thing, and someone else leaks to the flat, and he just happened to be open and caught the ball. And you know, we were playing with 1.5 receivers. JP played, but was not very effective, when we kind of knew that. So we knew we needed to make up his catches. And I think Case has great coaches, but we were a little surprised that they didn't do something to stop that, you know, to stop the split zone action. But we kept doing it, and it was successful.
Well, that's kind of where I was leading into. Did you see that as something prior to the game that would be something you could take advantage of, or was it just clearly you sort of already answered that part, that they clearly didn't adjust to it?
Yeah, I don't know if it was something we saw prior to it. It's part of our offense. Back 20, 25 years ago when I started coaching at WNJ, it was that we're going to run our plays, you run your defense, stop us. It's not like that anymore. You're going to see so many different fronts and coverages and stunts that you have to have answers to things. And we just felt that the way that they played, I mean, if you remember the Grove City game, we were an RPO team, okay? It was going to be, we were going to hand it or we were going to throw it. And we threw it most of the time based off what they were doing. This team, we figured, hey, let's be an RPR team. We can run it. He can pass it, or Jake can run it. And he did a couple times. And the part of the RPR is really that Cernuto's the one that leaks to the flat. And we just felt that it was going to be a big part of our game plan, and we kept going to it. We added a few wrinkles that they didn't see, so I'll give our offensive staff credit. And they really didn't adjust to it as the game went on.
Game probably not as close as the score would lead you to believe, but a couple of key times or sequences in that game. The first Brandon Brown interception that allows you then to go in and score a touchdown with a minute left in the first half and go up 21-7. That's a big swing.
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, because you're looking at, they're driving. You know, they're a good football team, and unfortunately they play the best four teams in the league, including, I mean, but you know, they're part of it at the end, but they're a good football team, and you're thinking, hey, maybe we're going in 14-14. They get the ball first. Brandon makes a big play, and I think we went five plays in a minute and didn't use any of our timeouts. Great execution of the 2-minute drill by Jake. We ran our offense. We just didn't throw it. I mean, we ran our RPOs. We were able to do what we do. And Anthony Rosati made a big catch on the drive, and we were able to score. So that I don't know what you're talking about with the other one, but that, to me, that was huge, because that put us up 21-14 or 21-7, excuse me.
Yeah, and I kind of want to ask you a little bit about both of those guys. You know, Brandon took over midway point of last year because of an injury. He has clearly grown into that position very well and contributed not only one but two interceptions in that Case game.
Yeah, Brandon, I mean, you know, that's a special case. I mean, I'm so happy for that young man. He waited his turn. He got to halfway through his senior year. He still wasn't starting. You know, Angelo Vimino got hurt in that Grove City game last year, and we switched our secondary around. He ends up starting and played well at the end of last year, but then has just played terrific this year. I mean, a true leader. Just super happy for Brandon that he's able to accomplish this his last year playing football.
Well, and it was kind of a nice thing for Anthony Rosati too. He was our player guest prior to the Case game, and I could tell how excited he was to play, because he is from that area and he was going to have a lot of family and friends there, and big for him to get a touchdown.
Yeah, it was nice. I mean, Anthony has been a good player. Anthony didn't play his freshman year, was hurt, and so he's a fifth year and has been a big part. He's been a 4-year starter, and this year he doesn't have as many catches because we've played more 2-receiver and 2-tight-end sets, because we feel we have really 2 really good tight ends. So he hasn't complained, and when he got his chance on Saturday, he played outstanding.
The other sequence that looking back, I thought was key. you trade touchdowns early in the third quarter, so it's 27-14. Early in the fourth, Case is driving. They're at your 28-yard line, and you get a turnover on downs, and that turns into a 70-yard touchdown drive for you the other way. So it's very similar to that first half where, it could have been 27-21. Instead, it ends up being 34-14 after your touchdown drive.
That was first of all, it was a great stop by our defense, but that was an outstanding drive because we got away from we were running the same those RPOs and RPRs, and we actually just we ran some straight runs. And Kobe DeRosa broke off two big runs, one at the start of the drive and one, in the middle of the drive and was able to get us down there. We actually ran a quarterback sweep, just a straight run. We were able to do that with an athletic quarterback. So we didn't get off our game plan, but we used some things that they hadn't seen yet. We saved them to the fourth quarter. We needed them on that drive, and it was key.
Let's talk about injuries a little bit. You mentioned John Peduzzi with a week off. Maybe update us on his condition. You were without Owen Petrisic as well in that game.
No, JP is going to be fine. The week off really helped him. We did prepare for Allegheny, but we kind of gave him the week off and another week of treatment. He has practiced all week. And the same with Owen. Owen gave him the week off, and he's practiced all week. So offensively, we should be at full speed.
More with Mike Sirianni on President's Football Preview when we come right back.
Hi, this is Attorney John Petrisic, and I've been your hometown attorney for nearly 30 years. Whether it be family law, the preparation of wills and powers of attorney, or the administration of an estate, I'm ready to assist you. I also represent clients on real estate matters including oil and gas, local government issues, contract disputes, and civil litigation including personal injury. If you're looking for an experienced attorney, I have offices in Bentleyville and Washington. Call 724-239-2330 for a free consultation. Go Presidents.
My Dream Fields has a scoreboard with a giant TV.
My Dream Field has dugouts for our mascot to dance on.
My Dream Field has lights to play at night. And a duck pond.
CNX is making dream fields come true by donating millions of dollars throughout Appalachia. Nominate your field at cnx.com/dreamfields.
Back on President's Football Preview with W&J head football coach Mike Sirianni. President's getting ready to end the regular season here this afternoon at Allegheny. Mike, Allegheny beat Bethany first game of the year, but they have lost eight straight since. Just talk about what you see as you get ready for them today.
A team that's getting better. I mean, they went toe-to-toe with Waynesburg a couple of weeks ago and probably should have won the football game. A team that's improved, a young team, a team that's high in tradition. Listen, I have a ton of respect for Allegheny and their football tradition and what they've accomplished. They won a national championship in the 90s. When I was coaching at Mount Union, they played us tough every single year. So I have a ton of respect for them. They've gotten better. They have some weapons. And I know you didn't ask this, but what's keeping me on my toes is the 2003 season. We were 8-1. We played a 1-8 Buffalo State team to go to the playoffs, and they beat us. And I'll never forget that feeling. It was one of the worst feelings of my coaching career. And I did bring that up to the players, even though half of them weren't even born yet. But that has kept us laser focused on the task at hand, and that is to win the game. Whether we win big or win by 1 point, we don't care. We want to win the game so we can go to the next part of our goal.
Well, and I was going to save that question for later, but here we are. And this is a very, I would think, and you would know better, but it seems like a very mature team and a mature approach with, more older players than you're used to having because of fifth years and so on and so forth. But I know, a win obviously gives you a share of the conference title. And there's a good chance, if it's a three-way tie, you get the automatic bid to the playoffs. Those things, I know every year conference title playoffs are at the top of the list of goals. So, those guys certainly know that. I just can't imagine that there would be any kind of, letdown or overlooking of this team or any team.
We're not overlooking anyone. We have prepared for 2 weeks for this team. I was thinking about what to do to the bye week, and I'm like, listen, let's just, do we practice our A's against A's? Do we work on fundamentals, which we did, but we worked on Allegheny. Our guys are tired of practicing their plays and their defenses. They are as laser focused as you could possibly be. I have been like on edge all week. You can ask any of those kids. I mean, just because of that. And also, listen, they could have beaten us last year. And then, again, my last year as an offensive coordinator, we go down to Allegheny and lose a game early in the year where I think we turned the ball over like seven times. So you just never know with turnovers and things like that and college kids. And so they have our attention. We respect them. I respect Brandt. Their head coach is a good guy and a good coach and coached at Dayton and has a great, you know, record there. So we are focused on the task at hand.
Just, you know, one of the things that sticks out when I look at numbers and I see 16 offensive touchdowns that they've scored this year. You know, that's less than two per game. In this day and age, it's hard to win football games that way.
Yeah, I mean, I think they were throwing a curve when their starting quarterback decided right before the season not to come back. That wouldn't hurt anyone. But like what I see and what I've been focused on is that Waynesburg game where they put up 41 points and against a Waynesburg team that's rapidly improving, a Waynesburg team that, you know, that beat up on Teal last week and that I respect. So, I mean, that's the tape we've been watching. We've thrown on last year's game to show how close that game was. And I mean, at the end of the game, they had a chance. I mean, that really was a fumble on the kickoff. They gave us the ball, but they had a chance to win the game. So, you know, and they have some players back on their team, and they do, you know, they have athletes. So we are, like I said, again, we are focused on this game, and we are, like I said, it would be great to feel comfortable in the fourth quarter. We just want to win, and then go on to the next part of our season.
All right, Mike, thanks a lot. Good luck today.
Thank you.
Mike Sirianni, head football coach at Washington and Jefferson College. You're listening to President's Football Preview. Defensive coordinator Phil Bobich joins me when we come right back.
Community Bank is proud to be recognized by Newsweek magazine as one of America's best regional banks. At Community Bank, we partner with individuals, businesses, and communities to realize their dreams, protect their financial futures, and improve their lives. Visit us at any of our branch offices for a Best in America banking experience, or learn more online at cb.bank. Community Bank, one of America's best regional banks. Member FDIC.
Ryan Radke here from Sunday Night Football on Westwood One. It's an AFC battle from Los Angeles this week when Justin Herbert and the 6-3 Chargers host Joe Burrow and the Bengals. Cincinnati comes in 4-6, but five of their losses have come by one score. Can they get over the hump against the Chargers team that's won three straight? Join Mike Golick and me to find out. Bengals and the Chargers on Sunday Night Football.
Right here on WJPA AM 1450, your home for the NFL.
Back on President's Football Preview, W&J getting ready to play at Allegheny this afternoon. We're going to talk to defensive coordinator Phil Bobich. Phil, let's first of all go back and talk about the Case game, which of course was 2 weeks ago, but still, you know, not an easy place to play. It's been a difficult place to get victories over the years. So first and foremost, a good win against, you know, maybe a team that's not quite up at the top echelon of the conference, but boy, certainly right there and capable of beating any of the three teams that are tied at the top right now.
Oh yeah, for sure. And we knew that going into the game, that they are a very good opponent. They were very capable of beating us if we didn't come up and show up. Especially, like you said, going there. I mean, it's just a lot of people kind of overlook that part of the game as the travel aspect. So, I mean, going up overnighting and then playing on the next day. I thought our guys responded to that very well, and we made the plays that we needed to. So I was definitely proud of the guys for that game and that victory.
Brandon Brown with a couple of interceptions, a guy that took over last year because of an injury. Just talk about what he has done and how he has grown over the last, say, year and a half.
No, yeah, super proud of Brandon. Fifth-year guy coming back for his fifth year, coming back and starting. So, yeah, last year kind of got into the starting role later in the season, played well, all right, and then coming into this year, biggest thing that we wanted to tell him is to believe in himself, play with confidence, and that's what he's played like that all year, played with a little pep in his step, and then if you look back at our bigger games, the Grove City game, he's come up with a few big PBUs, Westminster on that last drive, he was actually the one that closed it out on that game too, so I mean, he's played well in all of our big games, and then last week against Case, the two interceptions were crucial for us, so definitely proud of the way how Brandon's played all year.
Let's talk about Allegheny, a team, quite frankly, that has struggled. Won their opening ball game and have lost eight straight, but a team that gave you some problems a year ago.
Yeah. So they'll definitely be coming into this game. It'll be senior day for them. So, I mean, those seniors will want to go out and give us everything that they have. And that's what we fully expect. So especially looking back at last year's game, I'm sure their coaches will be telling them, look, that was a one-possession game. That game could have went any way last year. So they'll be coming in and trying to knock us off for sure.
Talk about what they do schematically on offense and anything that might give you problems.
Yeah, they're more of a pass heavy team, similar to what we saw last year. A lot of it, what we'll expect will be a quick game. I don't believe that they're going to try to drop back and throw it deep, but more so it'd be a lot of quick shots, and that's kind of what they hit us with last year. Drive, and that's our what we'll have to do is we'll have to create turnovers. If they decide to drop back and try to throw it deep, defensive line will have to get pressure, create strip sacks, anything like that, or interceptions.
Talk about the situation that quick game puts you in. Passes they're not going to travel very far downfield, but that doesn't mean you can't just totally disregard the deep ball. So there's a little bit of a, I'm not sure, you can't get overly aggressive, mm-hmm. assuming every pass is just going to be, you know, 5, 7, 8 yards downfield.
Yeah, and that's the whole point of it, right? So, I mean, they want you to kind of put you to sleep, dink and dunk. We're hitting you 4 yards, 5 yards, and then try to come up and make a play. Corner tries to jump the quick game route, and they'll hit you with a double move. So we have to tell our guys, all right, just stay patient. All right, take away the quick game opportunities. But whenever they try to drop back, like I said, the defensive line is going to have to create that pressure. And then on the quick game stuff, whenever they're throwing the slants and stuff into the flat, we have to be able to come up and tackle too. That's another big aspect of it.
You know, it seems like your guys are pretty mature and pretty aware. You know, what I'm getting at is, they know the importance of this game and a couple of things that, you know, certainly a share of the conference championship. You win and you get the automatic qualifier for the playoffs, if it ends up in a three-way tie. Mm-hmm. So there, and you know, those things are very important. Clearly, I know those are the goals you set at the beginning of the season. So, you know, they're on the line today, despite the fact that you're playing a 1-8 opponent. And again, over the years, W&J teams have been pretty mature in not overlooking these types of games.
Yeah, I thought our guys, kind of the message since CMU is, at least for us defensively, what I've been telling the guys is that, look, we're in playoff mode from now on for the rest of the season. All right, so we can only control what we can control. Each week we got to be 1-0. I mean, I know it's cliche, but that's, our guys have prepared well in practice since dating back to the CMU game and all year. So, I mean, we had another good week of practice, and we don't, and what the message this week was is don't waste this opportunity. All right, it doesn't come every year. I mean, you kind of take winning for granted, but as far as like winning a championship, it doesn't come often. So, I mean, a lot of things got to go your way. I mean, it's kind of crazy that the last time we've won was dating back to my senior year. So, I mean, that was kind of the message. Like, look, guys, we have a chance to finally do what we've set out to try to do for the last 5 years. Now we have the opportunity in front of us. Don't waste it. Finish the job.
Well, and I talked about that maturity, and I guess part of that is going to come with leadership from a lot of seniors and fifth-year guys. So they're, you know, if you had a younger team, that might be more of a concern.
Yeah, for sure. And even for the younger guys, what I told them is that you don't know when your next time this opportunity could come. So, I mean, leave everything out there today. And for the upperclassmen, I'm sure they'll do the same thing.
All right, Phil. Thanks a lot. Good luck today.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Phil Bobich, the President's Defensive Coordinator. You're listening to President's Football Preview here on WJPA. We're back with a special guest right after this.
In sports and in life, accidents happen, and sometimes people get hurt. The doctors at Advanced Orthopedics and Rehabilitation specialize in orthopedic surgery, joint replacement, foot and ankle reconstruction, hand and upper extremity surgery, sports medicine and rehabilitation, and game time medical services. With main offices near Wild Things Park and offices in Waynesburg, Charleroi, McMurray, and on Vanadium Road near St. Clair Hospital, you can count on Advanced Orthopedics and Rehabilitation.
Range Resources 2000 Turkeys Cash Drive is Wednesday from 8:30 till 2:30. Range volunteers and students from school districts across Washington County, including McGuffey, Avella, Charleroi, Washington, Trinity, Fort Cherry, Chartiers Houston, and Western Area Career and Technology Center, and college students from WNJ will be accepting donations near the Farmers Market Pavilion in Washington and in Canonsburg near Chico Bocello and ARC Human Services. Donate cash or online with the QR code. Range Resources will match donations up to $25,000. Please donate to 2,000 Turkeys Wednesday and help Washington County residents in need enjoy a traditional Thanksgiving dinner.
Back on our final segment of President's Football Preview, we're going to talk to running back Owen Patrisik. Owen, first things first, you had an ankle injury. You did not play in the Case game 2 weeks ago. Just update us on your injury.
I'm feeling good. I practiced all this week. Everything feels good. I'll be good to go for Allegheny and from there on. So,
just talk about the running back rotation. Three guys all with maybe different styles of running, I guess is the best way to put it. Talk about how that works.
So we all complement each other in different ways. We're all good at different things. And I think it's good that there's three of us because in practice we push each other, making sure we're getting better and better. And it, we help each other too. Like we see different things different ways, so we assist each other. And I think it's good that we have that rotation. It helps us each. It makes the team better. So,
You're from just down the road at Bentworth. Talk about your decision to come to WNJ when you were looking at colleges. You know, what was going through your mind at that time and why you chose WNJ?
I chose WNJ. Like I said, I wanted to win. When I went to high school, we didn't win a whole lot. So for me, winning was a big deal. I'm a competitive person. I like to win. So I didn't do that a whole lot in high school. So when I visited here and talked to Coach Cherney, it was one of the places I knew that I wanted to go. And my dad went here. I didn't play football or anything, but he kind of harped me to go here, so that's where I went.
Well, and you kind of had to bide your time, really, too. And even this year, you weren't really guaranteed, obviously, with still sharing the position almost, you know, between three guys. Did it ever get frustrating when maybe you didn't play at the varsity level the way you maybe had hoped to?
Oh, yeah, definitely frustrating, for sure. I mean, there was times where I definitely got frustrated with myself and, like, just wanted to be better because I'm a competitive person. Like I said, I just wanted to play. But I just kept working, put my head down, just went to work every day, went to practice, and just eventually I broke through, and now we're here. So,
well, and let's talk about how we got here. It was the last game of the regular season. A tough loss midway through to Carnegie Mellon. Any game is tough to lose, especially with the expectations that this program has. Just talk about getting over that frustration, which you guys obviously did and have come back to win a couple of big ball games since.
Oh, yeah. So last year when we lost to Carnegie Mellon, it was definitely a heartbreaker for the team. Like, we just weren't there. We weren't mentally there. But then from there on, we won out the rest of the season. And going into the offseason, we knew we had to be better, put a lot of work in, early mornings, just, like, getting to work, spring ball, working hard. And then over the summer, we knew we had to go in the summer. And that's on you individually as a person. So us as a team knew that we all had to do our part, and we came in back for the fall. Everyone looked good, and we all had the right mentality that we wanted to win the conference. We want to make the playoffs and go on a run. And so far this season, we've done that. I mean, we had a heartbreak loss again to Carnegie Mellon, but we bounced back and continued to win the games that we needed to against Grove City and Case Western last week.
Well, and I know every year that the list of goals that this program has, win the conference, go to the playoffs. Just talk about, the maturity of this group. You know, and it's probably one of the reasons that maybe you were able to bounce back after that loss to CMU. You know, it's a lot of seniors and fifth year guys. Maybe a younger team does not handle that adversity as well as a more mature group like you guys was able to do.
Yeah, so I mean, our quarterback, Jake Pugh, our linebacker, Justin Johns, and our leaders like Dawson and Zakai, they do a really good job with keeping us accountable and holding us together as a group, as a team. And that's why they're the captains of the team. They do a good job of keeping us together and saying, hey, get over it. It happened. We got to keep moving on and keep winning the games that we need to do, and everything will be just fine and work out what we wanted to. So,
Let's talk about Allegheny. I'm sure you've been studying their defense all week. What have you seen? What do you expect today?
I expect us to win the game, obviously. They're good. They have some athletes on defense. I mean, any given day, you know, so we have to be prepared. They have some good linebackers, good DBs. So we have a good game plan, I think, and I think we'll do what we need to do. So,
Last question, your major and where you see yourself after you leave W&J.
So right now I'm a history major, minor education, so I'll be a history teacher at some point. I don't know exactly where I want to work or where I want to be, but I see myself doing that as of right now, but you never know what the future holds.
All right, terrific. Owen, thanks for being with us. We appreciate it, and let's hope the season continues well beyond this afternoon.
Yep, I agree. Thank you.
Owen Patrisic, the running back for the Presidents of Washington and Jefferson College. You've been listening to President's Football Preview, getting close to kickoff. W&J in Allegheny. We're back on WJPA right after this.
This is Coach Guy Monicalvo for the Washington Greene County Chapter of the Pennsylvania Sports Hall of Fame, an organization that recognizes athletes, coaches, officials, teams, and contributors. Last year, we awarded $7,500 in scholarships to local high school athletes, plus $3,000 to our Courage Award and Edward Monaco Above and Beyond Award winners. We granted money to high school athletes starting their own nonprofit charities and partnered with the Pony League World Series. We encourage you to join us at our next meeting and be a part of something exceptional. The Wash Greene Hall of Fame. Find us online or hit us up on Facebook.
Here for Monday Night Football on Westwood One. Hall of Fame quarterback Kurt Warner and I are set to bring you the Battle of Texas when the Cowboys take on the Texans in primetime. Quarterback C.J. Stroud and Houston are 6-4, coming off back-to-back losses. Now they take on the Cowboy defense with star linebacker Micah Parsons. Join us here for Monday Night Football.
Right here on WJPA AM 1450, your home for the NFL.
Welcome into Week 11 in the President's Athletic Conference football season, the final week of this 2024 regular campaign. Three teams even up atop the conference standings. This day could end with a single champion. It could end in a two-way tie, a three-way tie, or even a four-way tie. And then let the league officers and executive staff figure it all out. Here's what we know. The three tied teams, if they all win, W&J is the automatic bid to the playoffs, and the other two teams are likely to get into the national tournament as well. If W&J and Carnegie Mellon win, Carnegie Mellon is the automatic bid to the tournament, and W&J, again, likely to qualify. If W&J and Grove City both win, W&J again is the AQ, and Grove City likely to be invited. And if Grove City and Carnegie Mellon both win, Grove City is the automatic qualifier. And again, Carnegie Mellon in its final season, its farewell tour in the PAC, is likely to get in as well. Really, if you look nationally, any team that played any kind of schedule and goes 9-1 in this 40-team expanded bracket, any 9-1 team is likely to get in. Okay, so you said how about a four-way tie? If Westminster beats Grove City, W&J and Carnegie Mellon lose to Allegheny and to Case Western Reserve, W&J, Grove City, Carnegie Mellon, and Westminster would all finish 8-2 on the year. So you look at the games played between the tied teams. W&J would be 2-1 in those games. Westminster would be 1-2. Carnegie Mellon would be 2-1, and Grove City would be 1-2. So eliminate the two 1-2 teams in a head-to-head comp picture. And then you go back to Carnegie Mellon and W&J, and CMU would be the AQ and very possibly the only PAC team to make the tournament then. Action on the docket today, all 1 o'clock kicks except for the Carnegie Mellon Case Western game. We'll run that down. W&J here at Frank Fuhrer Field in Meadville. Grove City at Westminster in New Wilmington. Carnegie Mellon at Case Western Reserve in Cleveland. That's a 1:30 kick. Geneva in Beaver Falls hosting Waynesburg, and Teal is in West Virginia taking on the Bethany Bison. St. Vincent has concluded its 24 season and has announced a coaching search, a national coaching search. They have parted ways with Aaron Smetanka and will hire a new coaching staff at St. Vincent. After the three teams in the tie atop the league, Westminster at 7-2, Case Western after a 6-0 start and spent a week alone atop the conference standings, the Spartans have lost three in a row, losing to Westminster, W&J, and to Grove City. Geneva and Waynesburg sit at 4-5. The winner of that matchup today will be alone in sixth place. The loser will be seventh. Then Teal is 2-7. Allegheny, Bethany, and St. Vincent all with just one win on this campaign. Congratulations off the top here to W&J's Claire Anderson winning the NCAA Cross Country Regional. Also to our WPIL football winners last night, Fort Cherry and Clareton in the 1A semis, Seton LaSalle South Park in the 2A semis. Both of those will match up one seed versus two seed in the championship games next week at Acrisure Stadium. In 3A, it's Avonworth and Central Valley. Central Valley a two seed, Avonworth the five. And in 5A, the one seed Pine Richland and number three Peters Township, the defending champion, a winner. And those two will square off 8 o'clock next Saturday night at Acrisure Stadium. End of one quarter in the WPIL 4A championship game. Thomas Jefferson and McKeesport are scoreless. It's not the only important football action happening in Washington County today. In Division II, the PSAC, the State Athletic Conference, Cal U hosting unbeaten Kutztown, and in the early second quarter, Kutztown with a 2-0 lead there. W&J has won six straight games in this series dating back all the way to 2002, the last time Allegheny was a winner here, 28-25 back in 2002. W&J's last win here was 2 years later, 2004, the Gators back in the conference. W&J third all-time among Division III schools with 789 all-time wins, trailing only Mount Union and Wittenberg. And the Presidents are 22nd all-time in all divisions with those 789 wins. Lots of numbers where the Presidents are nationally ranked. One of them is in first downs achieved, 237 first downs for the Presidents through nine games. That leads Division III. And a couple of single season and career marks available to W&J players today. Jake Pugh needs one TD pass to move into number four all-time. Jason Baer and Chris Edwards, along with Pugh, sharing that position right now. Pugh, by the way, has thrown a touchdown pass in 26 consecutive games and has combined for 100 touchdowns, 87 passing throws, and 13 rushing touchdowns. Looks like W&J has won the toss. Jeffrey Loeffler, the referee, checking with the President's captains. Anthony Stanley's the umpire. Kevin Kelly and Tyler Bergman will work the line of scrimmage. Brian Collette, Darren Bauer, and Mark Emmerling in the defensive secondary. Game clock handled by Brendan Thompson and a play clock by Jerry Harkness. If I read things right, it looked like W&J deferred and Allegheny is going to take the football. At least that was the early indication, and I, of course, looked away at the wrong moment. Big outburst in the second quarter. Thomas Jefferson, three touchdowns on McKeesport in the period, and TJ up 21-0 on the Tigers. That in the second quarter. And Thomas Jefferson would play Clearfield next week in the opening, in the quarterfinal round of the PIAA playoffs. Remember, 4A and 6A teams in the WPIL enter PIAA play 1 week earlier than 1A, 2A, 3A, and 5A. And appreciate John and Jack Sacco keeping eyes on things around the football world for us today, and we'll pass those along as they are available. My reading of the early indications is correct. Allegheny going to take the football after W&J won the toss and deferred. Chris Geiswhite, one of the two back deep to receive. He'll be joined by Ian Dursey, the senior out of Burrell.
Deep for your Allegheny Gators, number seven, Chris Geiswhite.
Seen,
Ian Dursey.
We have seen W&J Liam Campbell handling the kickoffs, and he is ready to do that, but the TV red cap says, no, not quite yet. So the game officials will hold on to the football so we don't get an early start on that. Mentioned TJ in the lead in the second quarter on McKeesport, the 6A championship. Third year in a row, Central Catholic and North Allegheny will play in the finals. That's a 6:05 start. That game is at Norwin Knight Stadium, as is the TJ McKeesport matchup. Great to have you along on WJPA AM in Washington, online, WJPA.com. And the WJPA Sports Network, our thanks to our production partners at greensports.net, Jason Tennant, Lanford Simpson, Nate Rigotti, the crew that heads up that organization that's made it possible for us to bring you sights and sounds all across the state of Pennsylvania. Sit back, relax, and enjoy this one. Liam Campbell gets the bring it on indication, and he line drive kick taken near side by Geiswhite up at the hash marks at the 25. And that's where that whole return's going to come to an end. And Allegheny will start just across the 25-yard line. Zakai Simmons, as you just heard, credited with the tackle. And we are going to try to manage the PA announcements and our broadcast all into one. And hopefully you will be able to handle it that way. Trevor Bernsick, the senior out of Franklin Regional. Slot man goes in motion. That's Austin Williams. Bernsick to put it up, gets pressured, rolls right, and throws the ball away. Receiver sprinting up the far sideline, never turned back, and that ball hit about 10 yards behind. That was the motion man, Austin Williams. Bernsick, nearly 100 more incomplete passes than ones that have been caught. 148, 242, and has thrown 10 passes caught by opposition. Has 8 touchdowns. The Gators have struggled this year to find their way to the end zone, as you heard Mark Uriah talking with Mike Sirianni. Second down and 10 from the 27. Bernsick fakes a handoff, keeps it himself, gets around the bend, 30, 35, and finally pushed to the boundary. It's going to be a first down. Brandon Brown coming over to make the stop, but Bernsick on the run. He has not done that much. He's carried 42 times now this year, and that 12-yard run adds about 20% to his season rushing total. Bernsick faked that handoff inside to Baraducci, but then pulled it back out and rumbled for 12. The Gators move the sticks from the 39-yard line. Bernsick flushed out of the pocket, dumps the ball off, led his receiver far side too far, incomplete, intended again for Austin Williams. Williams, second on the team in number of catches, third in yardage. That's 46 for 334 on the year. Bernsick, about 1,450 passing yards on the season. Mentioned the senior out of Franklin Regional, 5'11", 195. Slot, Berkey goes in motion. Running play, handoff, tackle immediately. There is nowhere there to go. Avery Keith blows the play up in the backfield. Baraducci takes a loss of 3.
Brings up 3rd and 13 for your Gators. Ball at their own.
Ball back at the 36-yard line. 3rd down and 13 now for the Gators. Opening possession of this first half. Week 11, final week of the regular season in President's Athletic Conference play. Two wide receivers in a tight slot to the right. Slot's release. Pressure coming. Pass is overthrown. Incomplete, intended for Berkey. Bernsick will pick himself up off the turf and will line up in punt formation. 0 for 3 to start through the air. Bernsick averages 35.5 yards per punt. Anthony Rizzotti, the only man back deep. WNJ will put 10 men within a yard or so of the ball. In fact, they are in a straight wall 10 across the front. Special teams have had great moments and disastrous moments for WNJ this year. Burnsick gets the snap, gets the kick away. It is low line drive, and it will roll dead at about the be touchdown at about the 36, 37 yard line, where WNJ will take over for the first time. 13:28 to go. Opening quarter back on the WJPA Sports Network in just a moment.
Hi, this is Attorney John Patricic, and I've been your hometown attorney for nearly 30 years. Whether it be family law, the preparation of wills and powers of attorney, or the administration of an estate, I'm ready to assist you. I also represent clients on real estate matters including oil and gas, local government issues, contract disputes, and civil litigation including personal injury. If you're looking for an experienced attorney, I have offices in Bentleyville and Washington. Call 724-239-2330 for a free consultation. Go Presidents.
WNJ first and 10 from the 36. Pugh with a fake to DeRosa. Pass in the left slot. Complete to Peduzzi. Up across the 45 and going to get a first down. Second game in a row. Presidents have thrown to Peduzzi to open. 12-yard pickup and move the sticks. They hustle to the line here. Hand off, DeRosa patiently trying to find a hole, now bounce it outside, cross midfield, and just drive the pile. Pick up 5 yards on the run, Kobe DeRosa. A good first carry of the night. DeRosa over 350 rush yards. Owen Patricic leads the team, leading rusher a year ago, and leads the team this year. Pew rollout. Ball to McCosco at the 35, tried to split the D and gets it all the way down close to the 20-yard line.
Pass to McCosco. There's a flag.
And the linesman with a flag down. Apologize, did not see that. So we will not get the... Oh, there's the obligatory ineligible man downfield penalty. And the officials have regularly made that call. So an ineligible man downfield. Now here's the problem. DeRosa, they're going to mark this off from the wrong place. DeRosa's run was at the 47-yard line. The sticks aren't in the right place. The down marker had already moved. This is not where the ball should be. It should actually be on WNJ's side. Because they had a first and 10 at the 48, got a 5-yard run on first down, and then threw the pass. And the sticks and the down marker all moved. Yeah. Yeah, it should be. Yeah, the officials are going to stop this and try to sort this out, but. It should be second down and about 10 back at the WNJ 48-yard line because the president's on a first down, picked up 5 yards, and then on second down got called for the ineligible man downfield. Yep.
Second and 10 now for Washington Jefferson.
No, it's now second and 10 and the ball at the 43-yard line. This is not the proper position. We'll go with that. Pass to the left side. Cernuto makes the grab, and he's rumbling down the sideline, shoved out of bounds. That will be a first down. We're just going to deal with that as coming from the 43-yard line. There's no other way to go with it. Catch for Cernuto, and they run good for 30 yards from actually where the ball was snapped. First and 10 at the 13. Running play left side, it's Patricic inside the 10. The pile keeps moving, and he's going to be spotted down at about the 6. 7-yard run for Patricic. First quarter, Grove City 7, Westminster nothing. Thomas Jefferson up 21-0 on McKeesport.
Patricic up the middle.
Second and three, and Patricic moves the chains. Will be spotted down at the two-yard line. Gets four on that carry.
Brings up first and goal for the Presidents.
It's first and goal at the Allegheny 2. Empty backfield for Pugh, and now it's actually going to be DeRosa taking the snap, and DeRosa takes it in with Pugh running in motion. Kobe DeRosa's 10th touchdown of the year. Rushing. The Presidents go up the field, get a little help from misapplication of the ineligible man downfield, pick up
long snapper for the Presidents.
About 8-10 yards on that, but nothing there to show that the Presidents wouldn't have covered it anyway. Mel to hold, extra point kick is up and good for Devin Wyatt. 10-18 to play in the first. WJ 7, Allegheny nothing. Back on the WJPA Sports Network, presented by CNX Foundation.
Community Bank is proud to be recognized by Newsweek magazine as one of America's best regional banks. At Community Bank, we partner with individuals, businesses, and communities to realize their dreams, protect their financial futures, and improve their lives. Visit us at any of our branch offices for a Best in America banking experience, or learn more online at cb.bank. Community Bank, one of America's best regional banks. Member FDIC.
Range Resources 2000 Turkeys Cash Drive is Wednesday from 8:30 till 2:30. Range volunteers and students from school districts across Washington County, including McGuffey, Avella, Charleroi, Washington, Trinity, Fort Cherry, Chartiers Houston, and Western Area Career and Technology Center, and college students from W&J will be accepting donations near the Farmers Market Pavilion in Washington and in Cannonsburg near Chico Bocello and ARC Human Services. Donate cash or online with the QR code. Range Resources will match donations up to $25,000. Please donate to 2000 Turkeys Wednesday and help Washington County residents in need enjoy a traditional Thanksgiving dinner.
Presidents go 64 yards, and they do so in seven plays. Again, you get the little mess there in the middle where the chains moved on a long completed pass to Jake McCosco, but the penalty call brought it back, but didn't bring it back to the right place. But we'll see how statistically the folks handle that when we get those stats. Another conference score update, Teal 6, Bethany nothing. Matchup of 2-7 Teal, 1-8 Bethany. Campbell to kick it off. Geiswhite will take this one at the 6-yard line. He's to the 20 as he made a move there, got tripped up, and got out over the 25 to the 27, where Allegheny will start over once again. Great to have all of you along here this afternoon. Jacob Knisner, our producer in our downtown Washington studios. Coverage presented in part by attorney John Patricic. Nearly 30 years of experience gives your case the attention it deserves. Community Bank, recognized as one of America's best regional banks. Online, cb.bank. And Advanced Orthopedics and Rehabilitation and Advanced Surgical Hospital. Trips right. Burnsick's pass to the right side off the hands of the receiver. Not caught, and then the ball falls incomplete. Tried to get the ball to Will Griffin.
Brinsick pass to Griffin, falls incomplete. We'll bring up second and 10.
It's an 0-for-4 start for Burnsick. A couple of the first passes weren't well thrown. That one right on the money and off the hand and then the body of Griffin and not caught. Second down and 10. Burnsick reaches out to save a snap, gets rid of the ball quickly. Pass near side is caught right at the sideline. It's Geiswhite, and he's going to pick up a first down. A Well, as Mark talked with Phil Bobich in pregame, the Gators want to get the ball out of the hands quickly. 15 yards on this first completion of the day for Burnsick. Geiswhite, 48 catches, leads the team in that and in yardage, 563 now. Pass at the line of scrimmage is tipped. Good pressure by the Presidents. Incomplete pass brings up second and 10. Trips go to the right. Burnsick calls for the snap. Wants rid of it quickly. Pass complete. Geiswhite goes down and going to get credit. Clear out to the almost the 48-yard line. Now I think we're the official on the far side, the line judge, Tyler Bergman, coming in, and I think he's saying it's incomplete. Apparently Bergman saw the ball to the ground. Excuse me. Now it'll take the ball back to the 42-yard line. Tight little slant pattern run by Geiswhite. And now third down and 10 back at the Allegheny 42. 9:20 to play in our opening quarter. 7-0 W&J with the lead. Three receivers wide to the right. A tight end set here to the left side. Single running back. Burnsick drops, flush, rolls, gets hit just as he throws it. Pass is underthrown and right into the body of President's defender. Marcus Harrell Jr. just doesn't catch it. Incomplete pass brings up fourth down. The Allegheny fans wanted a holding call there. Burnsick, 28-yard punt, his first effort.
That's bad call, number two.
W&J again, 10 men at the line of scrimmage to pressure. Snap is a little low. Burnsick gets rid of it. Pressure comes across the bow. Rizzotti wanting people to get away from it, and then he almost got hit with a bounce, but it'll roll dead inside the President's 20-yard line. A little better punt this time around for Burnsick. Put the ball, looks to be the 18, so Burnsick will get 40 on this punt. W&J will take over almost 6 minutes into the opening quarter, leading 7-0, first and 10 back at the 18-yard line.
Stop down and pick up your tickets, and the winning ticket will be drawn at halftime.
Tournament field due to be announced tomorrow. 40 teams this year with the national championship, not until after the holidays. Longest Division III season we've ever had. Pugh fakes inside, finds McCosco, and a pass is caught down around his knees out to about the 30-yard line. It's going to be good for a first down. That's a pass play that Presidents worked earlier that ended up with the penalty. This one picks up a dozen. Costco approaching 1,000 yards receiving on the season. First and 10 from the 30. Pugh again on a play fake. Dumps the ball inside. It's Peduzzi. He'll get about 14, maybe 15. And a first down out at about the, put it at the 43. 13 yards on the pass to Peduzzi. First and 10, 43-yard line. Peduzzi approaching 50 catches on the year. Pugh again with a play fake. Dumped the ball off. Pass is complete. And it's McCosco gets into Allegheny territory to the 46. It's 11 yards and another President's first down.
That's another President's first down at the Gator 46-yard line.
Six first downs for W&J. We're not 8 minutes in yet. Running play going left side. Presidents have not run the ball a lot here, but they've done so effectively. This will be Volpatti's first carry of the day, the junior out of Bethel Park. Ball to the Allegheny 43, so Volpatti's first run of the day, good for 3 yards. Second down and 7. Geneva 7, Waynesburg nothing. Golden Tornado playing at home in Beaver Falls. Second down and 7. Motion for Peduzzi to the far side. Pugh dumps the ball off out of the backfield. It's Raymond Holmes inside the 40. Shoved to the boundary. And now a flag flies. A lot of contact over on the far side. And that's not sportsmanlike in the stands. The officials going to talk things over. Looks like the play went to the 37-yard line, so 6 on the pass to Holmes. And a personal foul will be added on. Take the ball to the 22-yard line. So 6 yards on the completion to Holmes. 5 catches this year for Holmes. First penalty marked off against Allegheny. Oh, it's first and 10 at the 22 for W&J, leading 7-0, 6.5 minutes to play here in the first quarter. Kobe DeRosa takes the handoff, and he works inside the 20, taken down at about the 19. Short run there, 3-yard pickup for DeRosa.
Pickup of 4 brings up 2nd and 6 for Washington Jefferson.
End of 1, Grove City 7, Westminster nothing. First quarter score, Teal now up on Bethany 12-7. 2nd and 3, DeRosa gets the call again. Bounces it to the right, 15, trying to go way wide and gave some ground up and lost yardage. Would have been able to get the first down if he just keeps going straight ahead, but tried to hit the home run there. Down at about the 13, a gain of 6. Now, 3rd down and 1 for W&J at the Allegheny 13-yard line. 5.5 minutes remaining in our opening quarter. Patrice got the handoff, and he's not going to get there. Actually, going to be spotted for a loss of a yard on the play. Back it up to the 14, so it's 4th and 2 at the 14. The Presidents will leave the offense there. Peduzzi left, Macosko and Holmes to the right. Pugh with Cernuto in a blocking position behind the left tackle, and Owen Patricic behind. Macosko motions to Twins left. 4th down and 2. Fake to Patricic. Dumped the ball off, and wide open at the goal line for the touchdown is John Peduzzi. For Jake Pugh, that moves him into 4th place all time with his 88th career touchdown pass.
That is Peduzzi's 88th touchdown pass.
Peduzzi with the grab there from Pugh. Extra point attempt. Devin Wyatt. Mel holds. Wyatt kicks. W&J 14. Allegheny nothing. 4:39 to play. First quarter. Kickoff on the WJPA Sports Network. Presented by CNX Foundation.
In sports and in life, accidents happen, and sometimes people get hurt. The doctors at Advanced Orthopedics and Rehabilitation specialize in orthopedic surgery, joint replacement, foot and ankle reconstruction, hand and upper extremity surgery, sports medicine and rehabilitation, and game time medical services. With main offices near Wild Things Park and offices in Waynesburg, Charleroi, McMurray, and on Vanadium Road near St. Clair Hospital, you can count on advanced orthopedics and rehabilitation.
My Dream Field has a scoreboard with a giant TV.
My Dream Field has dugouts for our mascot to dance on.
My Dream Field has lights to play at night. And a duck pond.
CNX is making dream fields come true by donating millions of dollars throughout Appalachia. Nominate your field at cnx.com/dreamfields.
So Jake Pugh with that touchdown pass eclipses Jason Bear, class of 96, Chris Edwards, class of 05. Now 27 straight games with touchdown passes for Jake Pugh, 88 in his outstanding career. That's combined touchdown number 101 for Peduzzi. Record opportunity today. Career receiving yards came in with 2945, has 39 already this afternoon. And with that, he needs 41 more to pass 02 graduate Todd Fry to move into fourth place all alone. Now Liam Campbell will kick off. W&J, two possessions, two touchdowns. Campbell puts the foot to it, and this kick is going to carry off the shoulder pads of Geis White. He goes back and grabs it at the 3 and will not get to the 15. Mishandled the line drive Campbell kick, and Geis White pays the penalty for it. No, Allegheny will start at about the 14-yard line. That kick hit him on the shoulder pads at about the 6, and he ended up going back and getting it back around the 2 or 3-yard line. The return to the 14, where Allegheny will start this possession, first and 10. Allegheny with single first downs on each of their Gators' first two possessions. Running play coming to the left side. Beriducci gets the call and a very short gain. Yeah, credit looks to be the 15.5. We'll call it the 16. Give 2 yards to Beriducci. No, second and a long 8. Last word we had, Grove City leading Westminster 7-0, that going into the second. Second, we'll call it 8. Burnsick looks and slings it to the right side. That pass is caught. Going to get a first down and then some, up over the 30 on the reception by Nick Berkey, the sophomore out of Hollidaysburg. Ball with plenty of time for Burnsick to throw it. Put it right on the numbers. Split the 1 and 6. So 18 yards on the completion for Berkey. Nearly 20 grabs. He has 19 receptions on the year, 172 receiving yards. 3:10 to play first quarter. First and 10 for the Gators, their third first down of the game. Motion in the bunch, trips left, pass underthrown and having to lay out to make the catch and doing so, but it's Berkey right at the barely the length of the ball gain. And give a yard pickup to the 35-yard line statistically. So Berkey now has 20 catches on the year. Second down and a long 9 for the Gators, shy of their own 35-yard line. Quarterback keeper Burnsick with the numbers this way. Carries up over the 40 to the 44. This is very close to the first down. Again, Burnsick has not run a lot and has not gotten much in the running game, but picks up nine here, and Allegheny has a couple of first downs on this possession. Two runs for Burnsick. He's got to 22 yards, carries of 12 and 10 for Allegheny. Get a note from John Sacco that Nico Flatty injured in that Grove City Westminster game and had to be helped off the field. Beriducci hit high and hard, and Avery Keith just spun him around to the ground. This is the second time today that Beriducci has gotten a handoff, and Avery Keith has taken him down immediately. Loss of a yard on the play. Beriducci, three rushes, minus two net yardage. Avery Keith, the senior D lineman out of Hartville, Ohio, 6'4", 235. Pass play, Burnsick on the deep slant. Pass is caught going to the ground, and it's going to be right at the first down marker. It's Ian Durchie. Spotted down at the WNJ 45, a 12-yard pickup. Burnsick unofficially 4 of 11, but that 12-yard pickup moves the sticks once again. First catch for Durchie, 12-yard reception. Gators first and 10. Final 20 seconds of the first quarter, 14-0. W&J pressure coming. Burnsick overthrows the intended target, and the flag comes from a long way up the field. Angela Bolamino on the coverage and going to be pass interference against W&J, so that'll take the ball to the about the 30-yard line. And Bolamino called for the foul.
You heard it, ladies and gentlemen. That's an Allegheny Gator.
10 seconds left in the quarter. Will the Gators run a play? Well, with the clock stopped, they obviously have no choice. First and 10 at the 30. Pass across the middle is caught. Tackle going to the ground. And that'll end the first quarter. Berkey with the grab. Mike going to put that down at the 25. So this quick, short passing game starting to pick up a little steam for the Gators of Allegheny. Catch for Berkey is third on this possession, and the quarter comes to an end. W&J 14, Allegheny nothing. Back on the WJPA Sports Network presented by CNX Foundation.
Hi, this is Attorney John Patricic, and I've been your hometown attorney for nearly 30 years. Whether it be family law, the preparation of wills and powers of attorney, or the administration of an estate, I'm ready to assist you. I also represent clients on real estate matters including oil and gas, local government issues, contract disputes, and civil litigation including personal injury. If you're looking for an experienced attorney, I have offices in Bentleyville and Washington. Call 724-239-2330 for a free consultation. Go Presidents.
Ryan Rack here from Sunday Night Football on Westwood One. It's an AFC battle from Los Angeles this week when Justin Herbert and the 6-3 Chargers host Joe Burrow and the Bengals. Cincinnati comes in 4-6, but five of their losses have come by one score. Can they get over the hump against the Chargers team that's won three straight? Join Mike Golic and me to find out. Bengals and the Chargers on Sunday Night Football.
Right here on WJPA, AM 1450, your home for the NFL.
W&J leads Allegheny 14-0 after one. Other scores, Grove City 13, Westminster nothing in the second. Geneva 14, Waynesburg nothing in the second. Teal 18, Bethany 7 in the second. Teal has missed all three of its extra point attempts in that game. And the Carnegie Mellon and Case Western game has a 1:30 kickoff, so they should be just underway. Total offense unofficially in the first quarter, and again, this is somewhat still to be determined on how the statistics handle the misplaced start of the play after the ineligible receiver downfield penalty. WJ has 28 yards rushing, 98 pass, 126 total. Allegheny with 20 yards on the ground and 51 yards passing now and 71 yards total offense. But the Gators on the move, upcoming play number 8 of this possession. Second down and 5 at the WJ 25-yard line. Trips left, slot left, and a single receiver now to the right side. Empty backfield. Burnsick, the quarterback keeper, will carry straight ahead and get just a yard on the play. It's the ball to the 24-yard line. Man, looks like Aiden Thomas in on the stop. Third and 4 at the 24. Here's the situation, really the simple tiebreaker. If W&J wins and Grove City wins, the KCMU game doesn't matter for the tiebreaker. W&J is the conference champion automatic bid to the tournament. Grove City would also share the title, and CMU can get in that sharing mode as well. Third and 4, loft the ball down the field. Contact, flags coming from all over the place. Pass intended for Chris Geiswhite. The presidents are going to get called for interference. Mason Kasprak going to be the guilty party. Pass interference will take the ball to the 12-yard line. Second DPI penalty on the Presidents in this possession. Grove City now with 7 first downs, 5 on this possession, and 2 by way of those penalties. So the ball at the 12, first and 10 for Allegheny. Gators have not scored a lot this year, but bring the ball to the right side. Baraducci on the reception, and he's down at about the 3, gain of 9. I apologize for disappearing there for a moment. Tried to put something away and almost put myself away there for a bit. Burnsick heating up now, 0 for 3 on the opening possession, 1 for 5 on the second, so 1 for 8 at one point, but now 6 of 13 in the ball game. 5 straight completions on this possession. Second down and 1 at the W&J 3. Burnsick just walks up, takes the snap, and tried to run it ahead, and he's going to be tackled at the line of scrimmage. No gain. A little deceit move there by Burnsick, but he was wandering around and then just walked up under the center, and the ball was snapped, but the Presidents were ready for it. Burnsick gets no gain on the play. So now 3rd and 1 at the 3. Early score from Cleveland, Case Western 7, Carnegie Mellon nothing. Twins wide left. Baraducci with Burnsick. Handoff. Baraducci going to be stopped short of the first down marker. Got just inside the 3, but did not get to the 2. And it's going to be 4th down. That ball just inside the 3. Baraducci stood up, didn't get the push that he needed. So now 4th down, less than 1, as the President's defense goes for the stop. 12 minutes to play, second quarter. W&J 14, Allegheny nothing. Gators in the huddle. 10 on the play clock when they get to the line of scrimmage. 4 wide receivers, empty backfield for Burnsick. And now Allegheny will use a timeout with the play clock winding down. four receivers to the right or left, single receiver to the right, and Burnsick was alone in the backfield, but we'll see what comes out of this. 11:42 to play for second quarter. WJ 14, Allegheny nothing here on the WJPA Sports Network.
Community Bank is proud to be recognized by Newsweek magazine as one of America's best regional banks. At Community Bank, we partner with individuals, businesses, and communities to realize their dreams, protect their financial futures, and improve their lives. Visit us at any of our branch offices for a best in America banking experience, or learn more online at cb.bank. Community Bank, one of America's best regional banks. Member FDIC.
Back here at Frank Fuhrer Field in Meadville, one correction to something that I said earlier, and it was not that I got it wrong, it's that I said it wrong. Carnegie Mellon 7, Case Western nothing, not the other way around that I mistakenly announced a moment ago. Allegheny, after the timeout, will come out without a running back. Just Trevor Burnsick in the backfield. There are four receivers to the left of the formation, one to the right. Now, motion to make it 3-2. Burnsick's pass is incomplete. It's knocked down, and the president's defense holds. Allegheny had it first and 10 at the 12, got 9 yards on first down, and fails to convert on the next three plays, and the president's defense takes over on downs at the 3-yard line. .11:38 to play, first half. W&J from its own 3-yard line. Ball in hand for just the third time. Drives of 64 and 82 yards to the end zone. And Volpatti will take the run around the right side, up over the 5, the 10, and out to about the 12. Volpatti run good for 9. Second and 1 at the 12 now for the Presidents. It'll be Volpatti once again. First down and more. Spun around out across the 15 to the 21. 9-yard back-to-back carries for Troy Volpatti.
Cameron George and Colucci with the tackle.
You know, the Washington Jefferson first down. Three-headed running attack for the Presidents. 21 yards now for Volpatti. DeRosa 16. Patricic with 9. This play is DeRosa bounces out of the pile and takes it out across the far sideline out over the 30 to the 33. Another first down. 12 yards for DeRosa. Grove City 14. Westminster 3. As the Titans get on the board. Presidents with a first down from the 37. Motion McCosco. Pugh play fake. Dumped the ball off Rosati. Stumbled. And he goes down. There is a flag down. Boy, I think one of the president's own linemen is going to get caught wandering downfield. This might be Grant Cullen, the center. The good news is on this time, the chains haven't moved. The ineligible man downfield is the preliminary indication, and I think it was Cullen who was just across the 35-yard line. So, yep, check that. They charged the penalty to someone the presidents didn't have on the field at the time. I'm going back with Cullen because I saw him, well, maybe they have 63. Could have been Adam Kazera. Misread the number. We'll go that way. So the ball back to the 28. First and 15 for the red and black. Pugh dumps it off quickly to DeRosa. Has to make a man miss and can't do it. DeRosa ends up with a gain of about a yard, maybe yeah, just a yard, down at the 29-yard line. Babb on the quick close holds that completion to just a yard. DeRosa approaching 200 receiving yards on the season. Jake Pugh, I have unofficially a perfect 8-for-8 for 99 yards. Second and 14. Pugh stands in an immaculately clean pocket, throws deep for McCosko, comes back to the ball and makes the catch at about the 30-yard line. Ducked back underneath the defensive back, David Babb, and McCosko with the grab. Put the ball at the 29, 42 yards on the completion. And McCosko with that catch goes over 1,000 receiving yards on the season. Pugh rolls out, made a man miss, avoids another tackle, and going to end up with a positive gain out of this, and then takes a big lick right at the sideline.
Pugh with the carry.
Pugh with the run, going to move inside the 25, pick up of 5 yards on the play. His first charged rush today. Case Western answers the CMU touchdown, ties that game at 7-all. Second down and 5. Patricic takes it straight ahead and pounds it inside the 20-yard line. Maybe just short. May have been that step over that. Now they are going to move the chains. So 5 yards for Owen Patricic to the 19. A dozen first downs for W&J now, halfway through the second quarter. First and 10. Patricic takes the handoff, running right, setting the blocks up, pounds it inside the 15 at the 14. A run good for 5.
Patricic on the carry.
Well, Patricic and DeRosa with 5 runs apiece. Volpatti with those 3 runs. Started this possession early on, back deep in a hole. Second and 5, it'll be the Bentworth product, Patricic, again. And this time he's down at about the 13-yard line, gain of just a yard.
Nigel Williams also in on the tackle. He's going to bring up third and 4. Ladies and gentlemen, that's good.
Third down and 4. 6:45 to play, first half. W&J with a 14-0 lead. President's just their third possession right now. That means we're, about 24 minutes into this half almost, 23 and a half minutes in, and this is just W&J's third possession. Third down and 4. Pugh sends Peduzzi in motion to join McCosko wide right. Pugh fakes, dumps the ball off. Cernuto hit and down at the 10. It'll be 4th and 1. Cernuto with the catch. Good for 3.
Pass to tight end Zach Cernuto.
Cernuto, a game 2 weeks ago at Case Western. What an incredible afternoon. The Presidents will line up in this tush-push alignment. Pugh up under center, and he'll hand the ball off. And it's Raymond Holmes who got to the 8-yard line and will move the sticks. Raymond Holmes with the carry.
Raymond Holmes with the carry out of the Full House backfield, and that's going to be a Washington Jefferson first down. First and goal for the Presidents.
Holmes to the, they put the ball, we'll call it the 8-yard line, so Holmes gets 2. First and goal at the 8. Cernuto resets in tight to the formation. Pugh to the end zone. Caught. Touchdown, McCosko.
Pugh with the pass to McCosko. That's Washington and Jefferson.
Presidents go 97 yards in a dozen plays. Final 8. Pugh to McCosko for the touchdown. His second TD pass of the day. And for McCosko, his 12th reception scoring this year. He and Peduzzi both with 12 TD receptions.
Devin Wyatt to kick.
Snap, hold, and kick. All good. 5:07 to play. First half, WJ 21, Allegheny nothing. Kickoff on the WJPA Sports Network presented by CNX Foundation.
Community Bank is proud to be recognized by Newsweek magazine as one of America's best regional banks. At Community Bank, we partner with individuals, businesses, and communities to realize their dreams, protect their financial futures, and improve their lives. Visit us at any of our branch offices for a best in America banking experience, or learn more online at cb.bank. Community Bank, one of America's best regional banks. Member FDIC.
Kevin Harlan here for Monday Night Football on Westwood One. Hall of Fame quarterback Kurt Warner and I are set to bring you the Battle of Texas when the Cowboys take on the Texans in primetime. Quarterback C.J. Stroud and Houston are 6-4, coming off back-to-back losses. Now they take on the Cowboy defense with star linebacker Micah Parsons. Join us here for Monday Night Football.
Right here on WJPA, AM 1450, your home for the NFL.
W&J up 21-0. Geneva 14, Waynesburg 6. Waynesburg failed on the PAT conversion. And I think Jacob Knisner is going to tell me that I pushed the wrong button, and we'll get that squared away here momentarily. Appreciate that. Impressive W&J drive, 97 yards, a dozen plays, nice mix, run and pass. 6.5 minutes taken off the clock after the defensive stop of Allegheny inside the three with three cracks, run for no gain by the quarterback, run for no gain by Beriducci, and then the incomplete pass tipped away, and the drive fails. Allegheny runs an 11th man on the kick-receive team really late in the sequence, but able to get there just in time is Sean Simons, the freshman out of Buffalo. Liam Campbell's kick kind of dies in that wind and hops right to the 10-yard line. Geiswhite on the return as he crossed the 25 is corralled and pulled backwards from the 27. So Geiswhite's going to get about 17 on the kickoff return to the 27-yard line. Just under 5 minutes to play in our first half.
Justin Shry on the tackle for Washington and Jefferson. First down and 10, ball at the Gator 27.
Great to have all of you along this afternoon. WJPA AM in Washington, online, WJPA.com, the WJPA Sports Network.
Debrin Smith in the backfield for your Gators.
Burnsick fakes to Debrin Smith, and Burnsick runs it up the middle and picks up a first down. He has had more rushing success this afternoon against W&J than he has had all year. 15-yard run on this carry for Burnsick. That's his third double-digit run in five carries today. Again, came in with 41 rushes for 55 net yards. Burnsick sitting 5 for 38 on the afternoon, 15 yards on that carry. Sets, dumps the ball off and well off the mark, looking for Beriducci out in the right flat, incomplete. Burnsick after a woeful start. 1 for 8 to start. Then hit 5 in a row, but now has missed 2 straight. Overall, that adds up in my unofficial number, 6 of 15 for 60 yards. Clock stop with the incompletion. Second down and 10, Gators from their own 42-yard line. Twins wide near side, twins to the left. Running play going to the left. It's Beriducci, and Beriducci broke out of the pile and busted forward for about 10. Those blockers Those two receivers on the left side got the edge sealed, and Beriducci got around the bend for 10.
All into Washington and Jefferson territory at the 48-yard line.
9 first downs unofficially for Allegheny at this point. Ball at the W&J 48-yard line. Gators wearing the home dark uniforms, dark blue pants and shirts, gold trim. Burnsick lays it up the far sideline. Catch is made, going out of bounds, Geiswhite, and it'll be a completion. And again, the just a quick release. Defensive backs get their back turned, and Geiswhite stepping out of bounds at the 24, picks up 24 yards. Gators have to be incredibly frustrated by the way the last series ended after having it second and one at the 3, unable to convert from there. Couldn't get the first down, couldn't get the touchdown. Second catch of the day for Geiswhite as he approaches 600 receiving yards. His next catch will be his 50th of the year. First and 10 at the J24. Berardino running around the left, or Beriducci rather, running around the left end. There is a flag down at the line of scrimmage, and those guys on the edge, setting the edge for the the running back, may have gotten caught a little grabbing that time, holding against Allegheny. Did a great job the previous time to get Beriducci around the bend. Now they're going to mark this off from the 23, from the spot, actually. Referee announced previous spot. The official, the marking officials, the line guys, mark it off from the spot of the foul. So it'll be first and 19 from the 33. So Beriducci statistically gets a yard on that. But the hold. And now they move the ball back. Okay. Burnsick reloads, got hit just as he threw the ball. And the incomplete pass, there was contact on the intended receiver, but that ball well to the right of Berkey, incomplete. So we will take the one-yard Beriducci gain out and just make it a holding penalty to the 34. Second down and 20 coming up, 2:26 to play here in the first half with the clock stopped. Cootstown 14, California 7. That's in the state championship game, PSAC title game. That's in the third. Burnsick to pass, throws it down the far sideline. Receiver Geiswhite broke it off, and the pass carried to the end zone, incomplete.
Bring up third and 20 for your Gators.
And Angela Volamino in chase. Third down and 20. Second quarter, Carnegie Mellon 10, Case Western Reserve 7. Third down and 20 at the W&J 34-yard line. Burnsick, who's been pretty clean by getting the ball, quickly pass into traffic, intended for Geiswhite again, and the ball was tipped, and Brandon Brown coming across trying to grab that deflection, but could not. Incomplete, brings up fourth down. Geneva 21, Waynesburg 6. Winner there will be alone in sixth place at a 5-5 mark for the season, a 500 record. And Gators will leave their offense out, fourth down and 20. Have gotten a couple of defensive pass interference penalties called against the Presidents. And now Burnsick will take a step back. He is the punter as well, and he'll chip this high in the air. And Gators are going to let bounce inside the 10, roll inside the 5, and die at about the 4-yard line. W&J, again, second straight possession, will have the ball shy of its own 5-yard line, but they will do so with a 21-0 lead. We'll be back on the WJPA Sports Network in just a minute.
In sports and in life, accidents happen, and sometimes people get hurt. The doctors at Advanced Orthopedics and Rehabilitation specialize in orthopedic surgery, joint replacement, foot and ankle reconstruction, hand and upper extremity surgery, sports medicine and rehabilitation, and game time medical services. With main offices near Wild Things Park and offices in Waynesburg, Charleroi, McMurray, and on Vanadium Road near St. Clair Hospital, you can count on Advanced Orthopedics and Rehabilitation.
30-yard punt for Burnsick, downed at the 4. W&J starts at its own 4-yard line. Volpatti takes the handoff in the end zone, going around the right end, up over the 5, and down at about the 10-yard line. Good 6 yards on first down. And the Gators, I think, use a... No, we're at the 2-minute timeout. My apologies. It was not an Allegheny timeout, but the officials quick to get that started. Volpatti with the run... good for 6. Now the president's run game this afternoon. I'll just back up real quick, grab something here. 28 for DeRosa, 27 for Volpatti, 20 for Patricic, 5 for Pugh, 2 for Holmes. All totals up to 82 yards rushing, in my brain anyway. Here in the first half for W&J, plus another 152 through the air. Near the end of the first half, it's Teal 24, Bethany 10. Teal 2-7, Bethany 1-8 on the year. W&J will get the ball to start the second half as well. Coming up at intermission, we're going to run down all the scores that we have. Last night's WPIL semifinals. Hopefully have an update for you on the 4A WPIL championship game. Thomas Jefferson went to the locker room at intermission with a 21-0 lead on number 3 McKeesport. Good battle up in the... Empire State, Cortland 21, Ithaca 17, end of 3. Second down, we'll call it 4. W&J at its own 10-yard line. Volpatti took the deep handoff and just kind of weaves his way forward for a yard, nothing more than that. Third and 3 from the 11. Presidents have not punted, scored on all 3 first half possessions. And John obliges with an update. Thomas Jefferson in the 4th, now leading McKeesport 28-0. Third down and 3 from the 11. Cernuto in the backfield to block for Volpatti. Running play right side. Get the first down and more up over the 20, 25, and out to almost the 27-yard line. On the carry. Presidents will keep possession and now be able at worst to, barring a turnover, to run out the clock. First down, Pugh just dumps it off. It's Raymond Holmes, and Holmes does the wise thing and steps out of bounds. Holmes with the reception. Picks up just 2. And clock does stop with the out-of-bounds play. Second catch of the day for Holmes. Volpatti, by the way, 15 on that run that got the first down. Pugh sets and throws the ball. Sideline coming back for it is McCosco. And again, a great adjustment to the ball. And McCosco makes the grab down at about the 34-yard line. 38 yards on the reception. Running play, DeRosa inside the 30. Presidents have all 3 timeouts, and now they will use the first of those. W&J uses its first timeout. The ball is at the Allegheny 28. 6-yard run there for DeRosa. W&J looking to grab points here late before a half runs out. 46 seconds remaining. McKee Sport gets on the board. It's now 28-7. Thomas Jefferson with the lead. And that just a little over halfway through their fourth quarter. Again, we'll check the PAC scores that we have. The PSAC championship game as well. And Joe Jasek will update us on the news. W&J's possession started at its own four-yard line. A couple of first downs have moved the sticks. And now second down and four at the Allegheny 28. McCosco motions. And now D lineman fires across and knocks W&J O lineman down. Jerome Williams out of Strongsville, Ohio, knocked the W&J defensive tackle, and offside is the penalty. McCosco went in motion and Williams moved into the line. He got back, and then he just said, "I'm going," and he ran the knocked over Elijah Staub. So the offside gives W&J a first down. Ball should be at the 23-yard line. 46 seconds to play in the half. W&J up 21-0. Patricic now in the backfield with Pugh. He'll stay home to block. Pass up the left sideline. McCosco adjusts, gets the catch, defends the off the fights off the defender, and McCosco scores, but is slow to get up. McCosco shaken up on the reception. He does get up to his feet, but he is going to limp to the sideline. So Presidents go 97, now 96 yards for touchdowns. 23-yard TD grab. Extra point kick by Devin Wyatt is good. 40 seconds to play first half. W&J with touchdowns on all four of its first half possessions. Kickoff on the WJPA Sports Network, presented by CNX Foundation.
This is Coach Guy Monacalvo for the Washington Green County Chapter of the Pennsylvania Sports Hall of Fame, an organization that recognizes athletes, coaches, officials, teams, and contributors. Last year, we awarded $7,500 in scholarships to local high school athletes, plus $3,000 to our Courage Award and Edward Monaco Above and Beyond Award winners. We granted money to high school athletes starting their own nonprofit charities and partnered with the Pony League World Series. We encourage you to join us at our next meeting and be a part of something exceptional. The Wash Green Hall of Fame. Find us online or hit us up on Facebook.
And W&J with a 28-0 lead, and the Presidents will get the ball to start the second half. I have Jake McCosco with six catches for 134 this afternoon. He is 12 yards shy of passing Aaron Krepps for 10th place in all-time receiving yards. Did mention earlier that McCosco passed the 1,000-yard mark back with his 42-yard reception on the previous long touchdown drive. Kickoff hits the ground, picked up on the hop at the 15, and Geis White is put down at about the 21. A little chippiness over there at the spot of the tackle. I think somebody didn't like the way Geis White was tackled, but there are no penalty flags. The question is going to be the health of Jake McCosco. W&J already limited in terms of John Peduzzi's full participation. Kick return be credited to the 21-yard line. Allegheny with 36 seconds with which to work. Burnsick pass across the middle, incomplete. And the receiver got grabbed and spun around. Well, two flags finally. Now three flags ultimately get thrown, but really late getting there. It's going to be called pass interference. And this is a... put the ball, looks to be at the 34-yard line, so 13-yard penalty.
First down and 10 for your Gators at the 34-yard line. Can I say, that's an Allegheny Gator. First down!
13 yards. Clock stops with 33 seconds to play. First and 10, Burnsick. Getting pressure and rolls away from it. Gets rid of it. Pass is knocked away. Near side, well defended by Zakai Simmons. Running around the intended receiver, Austin Williams, and getting a hand to knock the ball down. Burnsick, 7 of 20 for 84 yards passing in this first half. Allegheny has picked up now 11 first downs, 3 of them by penalty. President's called for pass interference 3 times today. 27 seconds remain in the half. Williams motions to trips left. Burnsick handles a low snap, reloads, and throws an interception inside the 45. And the pick, Angelo Volamino. His third pick of the year. That's 11 interceptions thrown now by Burnsick this season. Bolamino, pick off number 3. He and Brandon Brown have 3 apiece. Seconds to play in the half. Presidents have 2 timeouts left as well. Ball at the Allegheny 44-yard line. See if we get a look at Jake McCosco. And indeed, McCosco comes back out. Well, good news for the Presidents. McCosco needing 12 yards to move up on the all-time reception yardage ladder. Goes in motion. Pass to the right side. Ball is caught. And it is Cernuto out of bounds inside the 30. First down. Cernuto on the grab. Ball at the 29-yard line. 15 yards on this completion.
37, Seabury on the tackle for your Gators. First and 10.
Third catch for Cernuto. Jake Pugh, 15 for 15 in the game. That'll end right there. Pass incomplete. Looked like McCosco trying to get him the ball at about the 20-yard line, but threw that one several yards shy of the mark. First incompletion of the day for Jake Pugh. 15 of 16 for 240. 3 first half touchdowns. 10 seconds remaining in the half. Ball at the Allegheny 29-yard line. Patricic beside Pugh, stays home to block. Pugh flushed out, rolls right, throws the ball deep into the back of the end zone, and Paduzzi runs it down. Touchdown. 29-yard touchdown pass to John Paduzzi.
Paduzzi with the reception.
4th TD pass of the afternoon for Jake Pugh, 38 on the season. 13 TD receptions for Paduzzi as he approaches 1,000 receiving yards now. And Paduzzi now 12 yards short of passing Todd Fry on career receiving yardage. He has now tied Aaron Kreps for 3rd all-time in receiving touchdowns. That was number 39. So he needs 1 to pass Kreps and 2 more to pass Andrew Wolf. At the half, Teal 24, Bethany 10. At the half, Geneva 21, Waynesburg 6. Midway through the second quarter, Carnegie Mellon 10, Case Western 7. Extra point attempt for Devin Wyatt. Up and good. W&J 35. Allegheny nothing. 3 seconds to play in the first half. Back on the WJPA Sports Network in just a moment.
In sports and in life, accidents happen, and sometimes people get hurt. The doctors at Advanced Orthopedics and Rehabilitation specialize in orthopedic surgery, joint replacement, foot and ankle reconstruction, hand and upper extremity surgery, sports medicine and rehabilitation, and game time medical services. With main offices near Wild Things Park and offices in Waynesburg, Charleroi, McMurray, and on Vanadium Road near St. Clair Hospital, you can count on Advanced Orthopedics and Rehabilitation.
Hi, this is Attorney John Patricic, and I've been your hometown attorney for nearly 30 years. Whether it be family law, the preparation of wills and powers of attorney, or the administration of an estate, I'm ready to assist you. I also represent clients on real estate matters including oil and gas, local government issues, contract disputes, and civil litigation including personal injury. If you're looking for an experienced attorney, I have offices in Bentleyville and Washington. Call 724-239-2330 for a free consultation. Go Presidents.
Campbell kicks off, a little bounding kick that is fielded, covered on the ground immediately, so just 1 second off the clock. You know, Allegheny will take over at its own 33-yard line. Again, just 2 seconds remaining. Carnegie Mellon scores with about 2:40 to play in the first half. CMU 17, Case Western 7. First and 10 Gators from their own 33. It'll be a running play. Beriducci trying to come wide this way. Trying to bounce it a little further, and he's going to end up down after a gain of about 3 on the play. And they actually will spot him at the 35, so 2 yards statistically ends the first half for Beriducci. He finishes the half with 10 yards on 6 runs in the first half. W&J had the ball 5 times, 5 touchdowns, drives of 64, 82, 97, 96, and 44 after the Volamino takeaway, the interception, the third of the year for Angelo Volamino. Get you a little further recap of this first half and then come back here to Frank Fuhrer Field in Meadville in just a couple of minutes.
This is Coach Guy Monicalvo for the Washington Green County Chapter of the Pennsylvania Sports Hall of Fame, an organization that recognizes athletes, coaches, officials, teams, and contributors. Last year, we awarded $7,500 in scholarships to local high school athletes, plus $3,000 to our Courage Award and Edward Monaco Above and Beyond Award winners. We granted money to high school athletes starting their own nonprofit charities and partnered with the Pony League World Series. We encourage you to join us at our next meeting and be a part of something exceptional. The Wash Green Hall of Fame. Find us online or hit us up on Facebook.
Range Resources 2000 Turkeys Cash Drive is Wednesday from 8:30 till 2:30. Range volunteers and students from school districts across Washington County, including McGuffey, Avella, Charleroi, Washington, Trinity, Fort Cherry, Chartiers Houston, and Western Area Career and Technology Center, and college students from W&J will be accepting donations near the Farmers Market Pavilion in Washington and in Canonsburg near Chico Bocello and ARC Human Services. Donate cash or online with the QR code. Range Resources will match donations up to $25,000. Please donate to 2000 Turkeys Wednesday and help Washington County residents in need enjoy a traditional Thanksgiving dinner.
Football on Westwood One. Hall of Fame quarterback Kurt Warner and I are set to bring you the Battle of Texas when the Cowboys take on the Texans in primetime. Quarterback C.J. Stroud and Houston are 6-4, coming off back-to-back losses. Now they take on the Cowboy defense with star linebacker Micah Parsons. Join us here for Monday Night Football.
Right here on WJPA AM 1450, your home for the NFL.
Welcome back to Meadville. W&J dominating a 35-0 lead on the Gators here at the half. Presidents trying to take care of their own business and put themselves in a place where they can return to the national playoffs for the first time since 2018. Coming into the day today, W&J positioned in many regards the same way they were in 2003, Coach Sirianni's first year. That year, WJ needed a bunch of things to happen, and they needed to beat a 1-8 Buffalo State team. And all those other things happened, and WJ lost to Buff State. Today, coming into Meadville to take on a 1-8 Allegheny team, Presidents taking care of their own knitting, so to speak, 35-0 leading here at the half. WJ has scored on all five of its first half possessions. 104 yards rushing for the Presidents. Volpatti 43, DeRosa 34, Patricic 20, each with six first-half carries. Jake Pugh, 16 of 17 passing for 269 and four touchdowns. He now has 38 touchdown passes on the year. And his 269 puts him right at the knocking at the door, about 15 yards shy, if my quick math is right, short of 3,000 passing yards for this season. WJ has 373 yards total offense. Allegheny, 48 yards rushing, led by their quarterback Trevor Burnsick, who has run the ball five times for 38. That 38 yards is about two-thirds of what he's netted on the entire campaign. 84 yards passing, 7 of 21 this afternoon, and one interception for Burnsick. 132 yards total offense. The Gators shut out so far, stuffed at the line of scrimmage a couple of times after had it the second down and one at the WJ 3-yard line. Two runs were stuffed, and then on fourth down, an incomplete pass batted at the goal line, and the Gators were turned away. WJ responded with a 97-yard touchdown drive. Gators would punt on their next possession, and WJ proceeded to drive 96 yards for its fourth touchdown. Last night in WPIL semifinal action, Fort Cherry 49-14 winner over Jeanette. Clairton, the 2-seed, 24-0 win over Bishop Canavan. So it'll be 1-2, Fort Cherry and Clairton, next Saturday morning at Acrisure Stadium. Kickoff set for shortly after 11 o'clock. The 2 o'clock game next Saturday will be the 2A championship. Number 1 Seton LaSalle beat 4th-seeded Steel Valley 27-13. Number 2 South Park, a winner over number 3 Elwood City 28-7. 1 versus 2, Seton LaSalle and South Park for the 2A WPIL championship next Saturday afternoon at 2. 3A game is set for 5 o'clock. It'll be number 5 Avonworth, a 14-6 winner over top-seeded Imani Christian, taking on number 2 Central Valley, who beat number 3 Elizabeth Forward 31-15. EF scored first, and it was nearly all Central Valley from there on. 31-15 Central Valley wins. So number 5 Avonworth, number 3 Central Valley play late afternoon at Acrisure for the 3A championship. And the 5A title matchup, number 1 Pine Richland, a 28-7 win against Bethel Park last night. Number 3 Peters Township avenged an earlier loss to number 2 Upper St. Clair. Peters Township winning that one 7-3. All the scoring happened in about 20 seconds of the second quarter. Ball off the body of Nick McCullough, intercepted by Upper St. Clair. It set up a field goal with about 28 seconds to play. And in the first half, Upper St. Clair kicked the ball deep, and McCullough returns it 97 yards for a touchdown. That proved to be the only scoring of the ball game. Field goal for Upper St. Clair, touchdown for Peters Township. The Indians, the defending champions, back to the title game with a 7-3 win. Peters Township and Pine Richland will play next Saturday night, 8 o'clock, at the confluence of the Rivers 3. And just concluded at Norwin Knight Stadium, the 4A WPIL championship game. Thomas Jefferson, 28, McKeesport, 7. Bill Chirpak wins a 10th WPIL championship and returns to the state playoffs. TJ will take on Clearfield next week. That is a game for the WPIL to host. Sites and times due to be announced sometime, we think, tomorrow morning. But again, that is a WPIL game to host by PIAA rule. Coming up tonight at Norwin Knight Stadium, 6:05 kickoff. For the third year in a row, Central Catholic and North Allegheny will play for the 6A WPIL title. North Allegheny looking to make it a three-peat and beat Central Catholic for the third straight time. To do so, they will have to avenge an earlier loss this year to the Vikings. Now, back to the President's Athletic Conference scoreboard. WJ leading Allegheny 35-0. Grove City 20, Westminster 3, Carnegie Mellon 17, Case Western 7, Geneva 21, Waynesburg 6, that's at intermission, Teal 24, Bethany 10, that's also at recess. It looks like that's what we got there. Also check that New York matchup. Cortland fumbled at the Ithaca one-yard line, looking to build on a 21-17 lead. So Ithaca recovers, and Cortland leading there 21-17, but Ithaca pinned in deep. And the tiebreaker is very simple with the W&J, Grove City, and Carnegie Mellon all leading at the either at the half or late in the first half. If all three win, W&J wins the conference's automatic bid to the NCAA tournament. The other two teams are very likely at 9-1 to also be invited as well. They would have to go in as wild card teams. If only two win, you look at that tie, and whoever won the head-to-head game would then get the automatic bid into the playoffs. If something crazy happens, Westminster rallies to beat Grove City, Case comes back against Carnegie Mellon, and Allegheny outscores W&J by 35 points or more in this second half and wins this game, we would have a four-way tie. And my math tells me that Carnegie Mellon is the automatic qualifier should that all come about. 35-0 W&J leading here. Again, 104 rushing yards, 269 through the air on a nearly perfect Jake Pugh afternoon, 16 of 17, 269 and four touchdowns. Two of those to Jake McCosco. He out now has 13 on the year and passed the 1,000-yard receiving mark for the season early in this game. Peduzzi with two touchdown catches, including the one with about 3 seconds to play. Peduzzi is approaching 1,000 receiving yards. He has gone over 50 catches on the year here today as well. And Peduzzi with those two touchdowns, he is now tied for third all-time in career receiving touchdowns with Aaron Kreps. Joe Jasek standing by. He'll update the news for us. That's coming your way in just a moment here on the WJPA Sports Network.
My Dream Fields has a scoreboard with a giant TV.
My Dream Field has dugouts for our mascot to dance on.
My Dream Field has lights to play at night. And a duck pond.
CNX is making dream fields come true by donating millions of dollars throughout Appalachia. Nominate your field at cnx.com/dreamfields.
Good afternoon. I'm Joe Jasek with the WJPA Halftime News. Decreasing clouds today with a high right around 51 degrees. Fog and clouds tonight. We'll have a complete forecast coming up for you later in the news. Washington County Commissioners released a statement on Friday indicating that there will be no tax increase in the county for 2025. The proposed budget is a balanced budget and comes in just over $132 million. The county is seeing $215 million in new property assessments. Chief among those assessments is the addition of 2,500 new residential units. Capital improvements that will be in progress this year will be the county 911 emergency radio system and a new public safety building. The final budget will be approved in December. The Mon Valley has opened a new facility to help attract and retain local businesses. The grand opening of the Mon Valley Business Resource Center Friday afternoon kicked off a commitment to the community to help grow small businesses in the area. The facility, located at 235 Main Street in Monongahela, will provide training, meeting space, and advisors to small business owners in the Mon Valley. Kate Lee, Director of Business Resources, says the center is important for the community to stay relevant.
It's what we hope will be a sign of hope and opportunity to come and to let folks know that they're not left behind. We know that they're deserving, and we're doing everything we can to get them the resources that matter and that they need.
In addition to networking opportunities, participants will have access to training, educational development, and funding opportunities at the BRC rental space. President-elect Trump's controversial health secretary nominee RFK Jr. is denying that he wants to ban vaccines, but Kennedy may end the practice of adding small amounts of fluoride to prevent tooth decay to drinking water in the U.S. Jay O'Brien has more from Washington.
Kennedy claims fluoride recommended for U.S. drinking water since 1962 is linked to low IQ and bone density issues. But the studies he references are preliminary and only looked at high levels of fluoride exposure, not the low levels currently recommended.
Jackie Quinn reports on a federal judge blocking a new overtime rule that would cover salaried employees.
A federal judge in Texas has closed the door on a Biden administration rule that would have forced overtime pay for millions of salaried employees. A federal judge, Sean Jordan, has sided with the state of Texas and a group of business organizations that argued the Labor Department overstepped its authority when it expanded federal overtime eligibility for salaried workers. It would have allowed those making less than $43,000 a year overtime pay if they worked more than 40 hours a week. The court action brings the old threshold of $35,000 set under the first Trump administration back into effect. Earlier this year, Acting Secretary of Labor Julie Sue said it was unacceptable for lower-paid salaried workers to do the same job as their hourly counterparts and get no additional pay. I'm Jackie Quinn.
A first day of testimony in a case that's been thrust into the political debate over immigration. Jose Ibarra, who prosecutors say entered the U.S. illegally, allegedly raping and killing 22-year-old Lakin Riley, a nursing student, back in February. Morgan Norwood reports there was surveillance and DNA evidence presented in court on Friday, as well as testimony from the officer who found Riley's body.
Ibarra did waive his right to a jury trial, which means the judge is the sole fact finder who will determine his fate. Prosecutors have opted not to seek the death penalty. Still, Ibarra could spend the rest of his life in prison if convicted.
A series of frightening scenes involving jetliners, gunfire striking a plane ahead of a takeoff in Dallas on Friday. Luckily, there were no injuries. Zareen Shah has more from Los Angeles.
They think that somebody from outside the airport shot a firearm at the aircraft.
A bullet striking a Southwest Airlines flight about to take off from Dallas Love Field Airport. The plane getting ready to depart for Indianapolis around 8:30 local time when officials say gunfire struck its right side near the cockpit. Police and fire officials rushing to the scene. The Boeing aircraft safely taxiing back to the gate where passengers deplaned.
Your WJPA weather: decreasing clouds will lead to sunny skies today with a high of 51. It'll be mostly cloudy tonight with patchy fog and a low of 34 degrees. Tomorrow we'll have fog early in the day, but that'll lead to partly sunny skies and a high of 58 degrees. On Monday, partly sunny and a high of 61. Right now, we do have partly cloudy skies at WJPA.
This is Coach Guy Monacalva for the Washington Green County Chapter of the Pennsylvania Sports Hall of Fame, here to invite you to become a member of our chapter and help celebrate the stories of these outstanding athletes, coaches, and teams. For just $10, you'll have the opportunity to vote for respected athletes, coaches, and teams of yesteryear as we recognize these sports figures for their contributions to our rich athletic tradition. We're the Washington Green County Chapter of the Pennsylvania Sports Hall of Fame. Find us online or hit us up on Facebook and be a part of something exceptional.
Ryan Radke here from Sunday Night Football on Westwood One. It's an AFC battle from Los Angeles this week when Justin Herbert and the 6-3 Chargers host Joe Burrow and the Bengals. Cincinnati comes in 4-6, but five of their losses have come by one score. Can they get over the hump against the Chargers team that's won three straight? Join Mike Golick and me to find out. Bengals and the Chargers on Sunday Night Football.
Right here on WJPA, AM 1450, your home for the NFL.
Welcome back to Frank Fuhrer Field here in Meadville. 35-0 W&J with the lead. Update on the PAC scoreboard. Case Western kicks a field goal as the first half ends. So the Spartans and Tartans go to halftime with Carnegie Mellon leading 17-10 at the break. Grove City up on Westminster 20-3, Geneva 21-6 ahead of Waynesburg, and Teal 24, Bethany 10 on this, the final week of PAC play for this year. Into the third now, Westminster with another field goal, now 20-6 in favor of Grove City. If W&J and Grove City win, that locks up the automatic bid for W&J, having beaten the Wolverines. And again, if that happens, those two win and CMU also win, then the tiebreaker points, the score differential among the three tied teams, would give W&J the AQ as well. Currently, with those games all played, W&J is plus 5, beat Grove City by 8, lost to Carnegie Mellon by 3, so W&J plus 5 in those two games. Grove City is a minus 1, lost to W&J by 8, beat Carnegie Mellon by 7, and Carnegie Mellon is minus 4, 3-point win in overtime against W&J in the 7-point Grove City loss. So it would be W&J 1, and then with both the Grove City and Carnegie Mellon getting at 9-1 almost certainly will be among the wild cards selected tomorrow for the national tournament field. But we'll see how all that plays out. First year under the new format, 40-team expanded field. And roughly the top 24 are expected to get byes next week. And we say roughly the top 24. Obviously, there are 24 teams that are not going to play next week that make the field. But given the historical geographic restrictions that the Division III Football Committee has worked under, it's not always those 1 through 24 that would automatically be off, and then 25 through 40 play next week against each other. You know, there may be some outliers, some teams out on a separation island that the committee has to deal with flights and those kind of things. And we'll see how all that works out given this new field, the 40-team field, the new format with we'll play 8 games in the first weekend and then a full 16 games in week two, as we then starting week two with 32 teams, and the national championship game not until after the holidays. But that's all down the road. First things first is get there. W&J in control of its situation here today and hoping to get themselves there. A win would all but guarantee that for the Presidents. They would be 9-1 on the season. I have W&J with 19 first half first downs. I mean, those are numbers. Presidents lead the country. Had 237 first downs through 9 games, and again, 19 already today. And we'll get the ball to start this second half. W&J already with 373 yards total offense at the break. Garrett Paxton, the senior out of Freedom area, with the ball teed up. He will. The left footer will run up and kick it. And we'll hang this deep and into the end zone for a touchback. Kobe DeRosa said, nope, going to let that go. So W&J will take over at the 25-yard line. Cootstown 21, California 14. Cal tried an onside kick, but recovered by Cootstown, and Cal U does not have a timeout. So Cal U will bookend its regular season with losses to Charleston, West Virginia, and to Kutztown, and 8 straight wins in between. Presidents first and 10 from the 25. DeRosa goes in motion and takes The handoff running around the right side. And DeRosa's run good for five. The President's in a situation now where they simply want the clock to run and get out of town healthy. Had a little concern late in that first half on McCosko touchdown. Running play to the right side. Breaking out of the bundle and getting to the sideline is Volpatti to move the sticks. Spot Volpatti out at the 39. Run good for 9 yards. It's the third 9-yard carry for Troy Volpatti today. First and 10 from the 39. A minute in. Get you a couple of score updates here momentarily. It'll be Volpatti again running right side and pounds this one for about 10 and a first down. And Volpatti gets up off the ground and heads right to the sideline. That PSAC game has gone final. 21-14, Kutztown a winner. Teal 30, Bethany 10. That's in the third. Oh, and Patricic with the carry straight ahead. Going to get credit for 3 yards to the 48 of Allegheny. Oh, and Patricic, the only senior in the three-headed running attack. Pugh rolls near side, pass intended for Raymond Holmes, incomplete. Both receivers this side well covered. Just the second incomplete pass of the day for Pugh. Grove City has scored a touchdown, 26-6 now up on Westminster. W&J third down and 7 at the Grove City 48. President's sixth possession of the game. The first 5 have ended in touchdowns. Cernuto motions behind the left tackle, set. Pugh steps and throws near side, ball caught by Peduzzi at the 35, and he weaves his way down to about the 32-yard line. First down.
Ab with the tackle on Peduzzi. Peduzzi with the first down for the President.
16-yard pickup on the reception. And with that, Peduzzi has passed Todd Fry for fourth place all-time in career receiving yards. Running play going up the middle, and the pile just keeps on moving down to the 25-yard line. And that's what Owen Patricic does, just moves the pile.
Tackled by Colton Colucci.
All right, correction. Ball carrier was DeRosa.
Nolan Seabury also in on the tackle. Brings up
7 yards for Kobe DeRosa. Second and 3. Pugh forced to scramble out. Gets the first down and slides down at about the 20-yard line. 5-yard pickup. President's move the sticks once again. 3.5 minutes gone here in the third quarter. Cortland a winner over Ithaca, 28-17 at the half. Mount Union 14, Muskingum 7. Pugh throws the ball right side, pass is low and not caught cleanly there by Rosati.
Pass intended for Rosati. All's incomplete. We'll bring up second and 10.
Second and 10 for W&J at the 20, and that stops the clock with the incompletion. And President's this drive right up the field time and time again. 64 yards, 7 plays. 82 yards, 9 plays. 97 yards, a dozen plays. 96 yards, 7 plays. Fifth touchdown, took just 3 plays, 44 yards. And now upcoming the 10th play of this possession. Ball at the 20, second down. Pugh turned to fake and nobody was home. So he throws the ball to Peduzzi. Somehow Volpatti and Pugh weren't on the same page, but Pugh and Peduzzi were. Completion going to be good to about the 14-yard line, 6 yards there. So third down and 4. And John Peduzzi now 6 yards away from 1,000 receiving yards. Jake McCosko has already crossed that plateau this year. Running play, Volpatti ran out of a backfield tackle and will get the first down. Oh, and then he takes a hit high, but going to be ruled that that was still inbounds. Whew. Volpatti down at about the 11-yard line, moves the sticks. No, he doesn't. Nope, it's going to be 4th and 1. And Volpatti gets 3, needed 4, and the president's offense will stay out. A good job to keep that from being a 2 or 3 yard loss. Full house now, Volpatti, Holmes, and DeRosa behind Pugh, needing a yard. Pugh hands it to Holmes, airborne over the top, and gets inside the 10, and will move the sticks.
Holmes with the first down. Washington.
Holmes' second 2-yard dive of the day. Both of them moved the sticks. First and goal at the 9. Patricic back in. Cernuto shifts from behind the right tackle to behind the left. Patricic takes the handoff. Cernuto comes back across, and Patricic inside the 5, taken down at about the 3-yard line. 6-yard on the run for Owen Patricic. Westminster settles for another field goal, 26-9. Grove City leading the Titans. 8:45 to play, third quarter. Second down and goal. It'll be Patricic straight over the left guard, and he gets must have bounced into the end zone. Going to be spotted just shy. Yeah, he's down inside the 1-yard line. That glass is deep in on that one, and now Patricic not going to get the chance to get the touchdown. Subbed back out, and here we go to that Holmes over the top package. Full house behind Pugh. This time it's Volpatti, and he's tackled for a loss. Zach Altenbaugh out of Western Beaver makes the tackle, and now W&J faces 4th and goal at the 3. No, correction, 2-yard line.
All right, that's going to bring up 4th down.
Well, I watched a Patricic run with the glasses, zoomed right into the place, and looked like he was in the end zone, but didn't get that. He's back in the game now. 4th and goal at the 2. Pugh hands. No, he doesn't. Dump the ball off. Cernuto makes the catch, and he gets into the end zone for the touchdown. Cernuto with the TD grab. Fifth touchdown pass of the afternoon for Jake Pugh. And W&J scores on its 6th consecutive possession. Cernuto's 6th TD grab of the year. Devin Wyatt for the PAT. Mel holds. Wyatt kicks. W&J 42. Allegheny nothing. 7:31 to play, third quarter, kickoff on the WJPA Sports Network presented by CNX Foundation.
Hi, this is Attorney John Patricic, and I've been your hometown attorney for nearly 30 years. Whether it be family law, the preparation of wills and powers of attorney, or the administration of an estate, I'm ready to assist you. I also represent clients on real estate matters including oil and gas, local government issues, contract disputes, and civil litigation including personal injury. If you're looking for an experienced attorney, I have offices in Bentleyville and Washington. Call 724-239-2330 for a free consultation. Go Presidents!
Range Resources 2000 Turkeys Cash Drive is Wednesday from 8:30 till 2:30. Range volunteers and students from school districts across Washington County, including McGuffey, Avella, Charleroi, Washington, Trinity, Fort Cherry, Chartiers Houston, and Western Area Career and Technology Center, and college students from WNJ will be accepting donations near the Farmers Market Pavilion in Washington and in Canonsburg near Chico Bocello and ARC Human Services. Donate cash or online with the QR code. Range Resources will match donations up to $25,000. Please donate to 2000 Turkeys Wednesday and help Washington County residents in need enjoy a traditional Thanksgiving dinner.
WJ drives 75 yards, 16 plays. They have two fourth down conversions, including the Pew to Cernuto two-yard touchdown pass. And WJ getting set to kick off here at Frank Fuhrer Field in Allegheny, at Allegheny College here in Meadville. Teal leading Bethany 30-16. Geneva up on Waynesburg now 28-6. Grove City 26, Westminster 9. Carnegie Mellon 17-10 lead on Case Western. That game is at halftime. They were a half hour later kickoff. Liam Campbell with a line drive kind of dies just outside the 20, hops down inside the 15-yard line where Geiswhite picks it up, and he'll be stopped shy of the 30 on the return. Allegheny ball. Gators held to 132 yards total offense in the first half. Just 48 rush, 84 pass. Stuffed on three chances inside the 5-yard line. And turned the ball over on downs. Geiswhite actually going to get about 16 on a return, spotted out to the 30-yard line. Trevor Burnsick, senior quarterback out of Franklin Regional, play fake, keeps it himself, trying to run left, going to get 2 yards. Only Burnsick and Baraducci have run the ball today for Allegheny. 40 yards now for Burnsick, and Baraducci with 10. Second down and 8 from the 32-yard line. Man comes in motion. The snap eludes Burnsick, and he just goes back and covers the ball. It's like Aiden Thomas will get credit for the tackle for loss. Aiden Thomas on the loss back to the 21-yard line. A loss of 11. Third down and 19. Burnsick pulls it down. He's in trouble and is going to be sacked. Dawson Dietz there to make the hit. And with that, for Dawson Dietz, he passes Stefan Swinkowski for fourth place all time on the tackles for loss. That's his 57th tackle for loss. And now tied with Mike Bruder with 30 and a half sacks. Ball at the 15-yard line, loss of 6. Burnsick Burns it to punt, should tow this around his own five. President's got two guys in on him, and he's able to get the kick away, and it's a nice one. Carries across midfield, where a fair catch made by Rizzotti at his own 47-yard line. W&J leading 42-0. President's take over there when we come right back.
Community Bank is proud to be recognized by Newsweek magazine as one of America's best regional banks. At Community Bank, we partner with individuals, businesses, and communities to realize their dreams, protect their financial futures, and improve their lives. Visit us at any of our branch offices for a Best in America banking experience, or learn more online at cb.bank. Community Bank, one of America's best regional banks. Member FDIC.
First and 10, President's pass to the right side is complete. Inside the 50, the 45, it's Peduzzi down at the 41-yard line, 12-yard pickup.
Nigel Williams on the tackle.
Jake Pugh now over 300 passing yards. A correction, that pass thrown by Kellen Stahl, my apologies. Oh. So Kellen Stahl in at quarterback for W&J, not Pugh. Running play right side. And presence with the number of new guys. Kobe DeRosa on the carry.
Zach Altenball on the tackle for the Gators.
Ball to the 34, 7 yards for DeRosa.
Quarterback for Washington and Jefferson.
And that catch for Peduzzi, by the way, puts him over 1,000 receiving yards. DeRosa gets the call, almost split this one down to about the 26. Yeah, 27. And a back up a little bit, but move the sticks. 7 yard run for DeRosa. And he's now at 60 rushing yards, over 400 on the season now. And they tell me it was Pugh to Peduzzi on that first pass of this series. Running play, Volpatti gets inside the 25 and just was going around and around, merry-go-round style, but gets it to the 21.
Tackled by Nigel Williams.
6 yards on the run for Volpatti.
Volpatti after a pickup of six,
seven, oh, four. Go back and add that attempt and completion for Pugh and take it off of Kellen Stahl. It does put Pugh over 300 passing yards. Zach Seaman checks into the game. 2:40 to play. First, third quarter, pass to the right side. Stahl over the top of Rizzotti.
Pass headed outside. Colucci gets his hands on it.
That pass may have been tipped.
For the Washington Jefferson Presidents.
The clock stopped with the incompletion. President's a long time getting the play in, but have plenty of time on the clock. Play clock there now. Approaching 10. Stahl hands it off. Volpatti inside the 20 down to about the 16-yard line, and that's a first down. 5 yards on that carry. And another set of downs. 75 yards this afternoon for Volpatti. Patricic back in the game in the backfield. From the 16, Stahl, pass near side. Rizzotti makes the catch, and the on a great block on the edge. Zach Seaman's opponent trying to block actually blew him up, and Rizzotti gets knocked down on a tackle for loss. Ball back to the 19, a loss of three on a completed pass. Seconds to play, third quarter. WJ up 42-0. Second and 13 at the 19. Stahl fakes to Patricic, runs himself, and it's only back to the 16, back to the original line of scrimmage on this series. So a third down and about 10 for W&J. Stahl looks to Patricic, dumps it off to Raymond Holmes, and Holmes fights to about the 10-yard line on the reception, but will bring up fourth down and four. Fourth and four at the 10, and that will end the third quarter. W&J has scored on all six of its completed possessions. Presidents have held Allegheny out of the end zone through three quarters. W&J 42, Allegheny nothing. Back on the WJPA Sports Network, presented by CNX Foundation.
In sports and in life, accidents happen, and sometimes people get hurt. The doctors at Advanced Orthopedics and Rehabilitation specialize in orthopedic surgery, joint replacement, foot and ankle reconstruction, hand and upper extremity surgery, sports medicine and rehabilitation, and game time medical services. With main offices near Wild Things Park and offices in Waynesburg, Charleroi, McMurray, and on Vanadium Road near St. Clair Hospital, you can count on Advanced Orthopedics and Rehabilitation.
My Dream Field has a scoreboard with a giant TV.
My Dream Field has dugouts for our mascot to dance on.
My Dream Field has lights to play at night. And a duck pond.
CNX is making dream fields come true by donating millions of dollars throughout Appalachia. Nominate your field at cnx.com/dreamfields.
W&J will send its field goal unit out. Presidents have not done much of this really since the Carnegie Mellon game. Yeah, it's going to be Devin Wyatt. Wyatt 3-for-6 on field goals, had a couple of blocks. This line of scrimmage is the 10, so figure 27 yards on this attempt. Wyatt 2-for-3 in this range. Mel to hold. Carnegie Mellon 24, Case Western 10 early in the third. The blocks against Carnegie Mellon came inside. They were not from outside edge rushers. They were people that got through inside, an area that W&J immediately recognized they have to correct. You can't let guys get inside on these kicks. 27-yard field goal attempt to start the fourth quarter. Jake Mell to hold. Al Magnelli, the long snapper, could snap and hold. Kick by Wyatt, up and good. Devin Wyatt with the six PATs and now a field goal. W&J 45, Allegheny nothing. Kickoff on the WJPA Sports Network when we come right back.
This is Coach Guy Montecalvo for the Washington Green County Chapter of the Pennsylvania Sports Hall of Fame, an organization that recognizes athletes, coaches, officials, teams, and contributors. Last year, we awarded $7,500 in scholarships to local high school athletes, plus $3,000 to our Courage Award and Edward Monaco Above and Beyond Award winners. We granted money to high school athletes starting their own nonprofit charities and partnered with the Pony League World Series. We encourage you to join us at our next meeting and be a part of something exceptional. The Wash Green Hall of Fame. Find us online or hit us up on Facebook.
Back here at Frank Fuhrer Field, W&J in the third quarter had a 75-yard, 16-play scoring drive, and they used nine plays on their next possession. Allegheny had the ball of the 15-minute third quarter for a total of 2 minutes and 20 seconds and ran three plays and a punt. The W&J defense has done a job. They held Allegheny to minus 4 yards offense in that third, 128 total through three quarters. Liam Campbell to kick off. 14:56 to play in our ball game here in Meadville. The kickoff. Geis White at about the 7 yard line, crosses the 20, the 25, hit just as he got to the 25, and gets out to about the 28, where the Gators will start first and 10.
Jensen Trinkovic with the tackle for the Presidents.
Well, again, the basic structure of the upcoming Division III playoffs, 40 teams will be in with the automatic bids or the wild cards selected. That'll all be announced tomorrow. Roughly the top 24. 24 teams will be off next week. Roughly it'll be the top 24, but there will be some flexibility there due to the geography factors, but can pretty well figure that top 24. Pass up the near sideline for Williams. Little hand fighting going on. Play on is the call, and pass broken up by DeJohn Telfair. Incomplete.
Pass broken up by DeJohn Telfair.
Burnsick, 7 of 21 in the first half. First pass of the second half for the Gators comes with 15 seconds gone in the fourth quarter. Geneva 28, Waynesburg 6. That's at the end of 3. Also at the end of 3, Teal 30, Bethany 16. Third quarter, Carnegie Mellon 24, Case Western 10. Gators 2nd and 10 from their own 28. Running play coming around the bend. It's the quarterback Burnsick. Cut back, gets over the 30, and out close to the 32. Burnsick with about 38 rushing yards this afternoon, but W&J will take that. Burnsick is going to get 4 on the carry. So 3rd down and 6 at the 28. Burnsick had 55 yards rushing on the season. He has 38 here this afternoon. Burnsick to put it up, floated up the near side. Geis White passes underthrown and incomplete, broken up by Trelfair. The ball thrown inside, and Telfair there, and he's able to break it up. And Burnsick in punt formation. Now into the fourth. A safety for Case for Carnegie Mellon, now 26-10 up on Case Western. Bad punt snap there. Into the fourth quarter, Grove City 29, Westminster 9. Burnsick handles a high snap and just gets a kick. Beautiful spiral and a fingertip grab going to the ground. W&J will take over there. Joey DiSabato on the diving grab on the punt.
Joey DiSabato fields the ball for Washington Jefferson. It'll be first and
13:46 remaining. Another safety in the PAC. Geneva scores a safety against Waynesburg. Geneva's up 30-6 now. The two safeties in the league within minutes of one another. 41-yard line. WJ will take over there, first and 10. And Kellen Stahl will be at quarterback. Twins left, single receiver right. Running play going to the left side. Bouncing off first contact, but not getting much more than that. Dom Barca. Looks like Barca going to get credit for four when it's all said and done. Dom Barca coming into the game today. Had run the ball 16 times and now has crossed 100 rushing yards in his junior season out of Norwin. Barca with four. Check that, three. At the 44-yard line. Second down and seven. Running play. Yeah, quarterback keeper and Stahl. Nice fake there, at least enough to fake out the 65-year-old radio guy. The Stahl's carry out of bounds at the 46, so 2 yards there for Stahl, and now third down and about five for the Presidents. W&J has not punted. In fact, their field goal was the first possession of the day that did not end in a touchdown. Third and five, pass play is caught for a first down. T.J. Lynn with the reception, the junior out of Marion Center. And Lynn will get spotted to the Allegheny 48, 6 yards and a first down. Fifth catch of the year for Lynn. He's over 60 yards in now 10 games for the Presidents. 12:15 to play in the ballgame. W&J leading 45-0. Running play, it's Andrew Sharp. And Sharp nearly broke it inside the 35-yard line. Sharp picks up another W&J first down. Sharp had 132 rushing yards on the year coming in. This carry to the 33 is good for 15. First and 10. Sharp again, the carrier, and spun around. As soon as he got the handoff, gets just 1 yard on the play. Running back into the game. 11:20 to play, fourth quarter. W&J, very efficient, business-like work here this afternoon to put themselves in a position to return to the NCAA playoffs for the first time since 2018. Second down and nine at the 32. Tight ends reset, and now false start going to be called against the Presidents. Trevor Manley called for the penalty, false start. A ball out to the 37, so now it's second and 14. Roberto Smith gets set. Second and 14. Little middle screen. Ball is caught. Cam Mulvaney got off of first contact and gets to about the 29. 8 yard pickup on that second down play.
Tackled by John Mark Crawford on the play. It's going to bring up third and six.
Catch for Mulvaney, his fourth of the year. Early fourth quarter, Teal 30, Bethany 23. Bethany with a nice little rally here, scoring the last 13 points. Stahl stands in a clean pocket, trying to keep the play alive, and he's going to get hit and taken down for a sack loss.
John Mark Crawford with the
Crawford with the tackle. Actually going to spot it down for a loss of two on the play. So fourth down. Let's call fourth and seven at the 31. Mulvaney, single back. Stahl gets pressure, dumps it off, too tall, and Roberto Smith, the intended target, and tipped and incomplete, and the Presidents give it up on downs. Beth Allegheny to take over, first and 10, 9-10 to play here in the fourth.
Community Bank is proud to be recognized by Newsweek magazine as one of America's best regional banks. At Community Bank, we partner with individuals, businesses, and communities to realize their dreams, protect their financial futures, and improve their lives. Visit us at any of our branch offices for a Best in America banking experience, or learn more online at cb.bank. Community Bank, one of America's best regional banks. Member FDIC.
Allegheny ball, first and 10 at its own 31-yard line. Trevor Burnsick hands the ball off. Beriducci up over the 35 to the 38-yard line. Good hard run. Step through the hole.
And picks up seven on the play. It'll be second and three for your Gators.
Beriducci get credit forward to the 38. 7 yards on that carry. Have not been a lot of successful running plays. 44 net yards rushing this afternoon for Allegheny. They have gotten three 10-plus yard carries by quarterback Burnsick. Beriducci had a 10-yard run. Second down, we'll call it three. Beriducci takes the handoff and got blockers, got to the edge, and almost broke this one, tripped up as he approaches the 50-yard line. First down for Allegheny, their first down of the second half. 10-yard run there for Beriducci. Geneva field goal now leading Waynesburg 33-6. First and 10, Gators at their own 48. It'll be Beriducci again, and this time he's ridden down at the line of scrimmage. Got hit as soon as he took the handoff. No gain on that run. Nine carries, 27 yards this afternoon for the freshman out of McDowell. Dominic Beriducci, 5'9", 185. Team leading rusher coming in with 352 yards and an average of 3.7 yards per carry. He's at 3-0 this afternoon. Second down and 10. Burnsick with a play fake. Dumped the ball off. Man is wide open, and it gets Austin Williams. He'll get the first down. And Williams takes the ball to the President's 39-yard line. Thirteen-yard completion. Those have been, other than that one spurt on the nice long drive by Allegheny, not easy to get completions for Trevor Burnsick this afternoon. First catch of the day for Williams, 47th of the season. We mentioned this, Burnsick started 1-for-8 passing, hit 5 in a row, and then pretty much hit the skids ever since. 8 of 24 at the moment. Burnsick on the quarterback keeper hit just as he stepped through the hole and could not get out of that. Ended up with about a 2-yard gain. Second and 8 coming up. Burnsick 9 carries for 40 yards. 5:50 to play here in the fourth. 45-0. WJ with the lead. Presidents have all but locked up their 9-1 mark. Carnegie Mellon 26, Case Western 16. The Spartans went for two and failed on that, so a 10-point CMU lead. Second and eight, Williams motions this way. Burnsick sets and down the seam. Ball is overthrown and off target and intercepted. Second pick of the day for the Presidents. And Makai Evans with the interception. Makai Evans with his first pick. W&J now with 11 on the season, two today. And the Presidents will do all they can now to try to run this thing out. 5:17 to play in the ball game. Let me correct myself. Not Makai Evans, but rather Sam Coleman on the interception. My apologies. Second interception for Coleman this year. And the 12th thrown by Burnsick this season. W&J takes over at its own 10-yard line. Ball underthrown and thrown wide of the mark, and Coleman just back able to make the grab easily. Running play around the left side, up over the 10 to the 15 and out to about the 18 goes Dom Barca.
Carry by number 26, Chase Tinsman.
Dom Barca. Barca going to get 8 yards on the carry to the 18. Well, Barca will get it again, and this time pick up the first down. He stumbled. He had one more move to make, and he might bring that to the sideline, but moves the sticks, keeps the clock turning. 30 first downs this afternoon for W&J.
All right, first down and 10.
4:15 to play. Stahl will hand it off. Run around the left end. This time it's Andrew Sharp. Sharp takes the ball up over the 40-yard line. A big eruption on the President's sideline. Line of scrimmage is going to be the 41, so a 20-yard run for Sharp. Pitt has scored to tie Clemson 17-17 halfway through the fourth. Thank you, John. First and 10. Another W&J run, and this one comes quickly to a stop. It's Sharp, the freshman out of Baldwin, tackled for a gain of a yard.
Zach Alton ball in on the tackle after a gain of one.
Under 3 minutes remaining. W&J is that close to nearly clinching their first NCAA tournament bid since 2018. Seemed to be in the postseason every year, but that has hit the skids as of late. The President's looking to change that. Great job after the loss to Carnegie Mellon. His team rallied and kept its goals in sight. And congratulations to Mike Sirianni on getting that taken care of. And the Presidents are going to walk to the sideline as we hit the two-minute timeout. We're back on the WJPA Sports Network in just a moment. WJ 45, Allegheny, nothing.
Hi, this is Attorney John Patricic, and I've been your hometown attorney for nearly 30 years. Whether it be family law, the preparation of wills and powers of attorney, or the administration of an estate, I'm ready to assist you. I also represent clients on real estate matters, including oil and gas,
local government issues, contract disputes, and civil litigation, including personal injury. If you're looking for an experienced attorney, I have offices in Bentleyville and Washington. Call 724-239-2330 for a free consultation. Go Presidents!
In sports and in life, accidents happen, and sometimes people get hurt. The doctors at Advanced Orthopedics and Rehabilitation specialize in orthopedic surgery, joint replacement, foot and ankle reconstruction, hand and upper extremity surgery, sports medicine and rehabilitation, and game time medical services. With main offices near Wild Things Park and offices in Waynesburg, Charleroi, McMurray, and on Vanadium Road near St. Clair Hospital, you can count on Advanced Orthopedics and Rehabilitation.
That last carry right before the 2-minute timeout, Cam Mulvaney with a 3-yard run, the junior out of Maine. The ball to the 45-yard line, so the Presidents face 3rd down and 6 now. Grove City goes final, 36-9. And with that, and 2 minutes left here, if W&J protects this 45-0 lead, W&J will be the conference's automatic qualifier with Grove City's win today. Carnegie Mellon could pull into that three-way tie as well, but W&J wins a three-way with those two and a two-way with Grove City, and Grove City has now completed its regular season at 9-1. So congratulations to the Wolverines. 3rd down and 6. Stahl hands it off to Sharp, stumbles forward but crosses midfield and gets down to the 48-yard line. Needed 6, got 7, and the Presidents will be able to kneel it down from here. Sharp with a 44-yard fourth quarter run to the ball for the Presidents. First and 10 at the Allegheny 48. It'll be Sharp again. Had to make a couple of jump cuts to get away from people, and Sharp runs up the middle inside the 35 and moves the sticks again. Ball at the 33, 15-yard for Sharp. .115 remaining in the ball game. Sharp, the single back, and now Stahl is going to let this play clock run down under 5 seconds. He takes the snap, hands to Sharp. Sharp going to get a yard, maybe two. And going to go to the 32, so just a yard for Sharp. The Presidents will have to snap it one more time. And 8 seconds difference on the game and play clock, so one more snap for W&J. And it looks like Sharp's going to get the final run, and he will. Sharp goes down inside the 30-yard line. And with an impressive afternoon, W&J here at Allegheny wins 45-0. Finishes off a 9-1 regular season and clinches the President's Athletic Conference automatic bid to the NCAA Division III tournament. So congratulations to the Presidents, and kudos to the coaches for the hard work after the loss. Blew a big lead, a 19-point halftime lead against Carnegie Mellon. And the Presidents this afternoon finish off that return to the top of the league. End of three quarters at Cleveland. Case Carnegie Mellon 26, Case 16. Case is inside the CMU 20-yard line.
Ladies and gentlemen, also a note that
We're complete here this afternoon. We'll recap some numbers for you when we come back here on the WJPA Sports Network.
This is Coach Guy Monacalva for the Washington Green County Chapter of the Pennsylvania Sports Hall of Fame, here to invite you to become a member of our chapter and help celebrate the stories of these outstanding athletes, coaches, and teams. For just $10, you'll have the opportunity to vote for respected athletes, coaches, and teams of yesteryear as we recognize these sports figures for their contributions to our rich athletic tradition. We're the Washington Green County Chapter of the Pennsylvania Sports Hall of Fame. Find us online or hit us up on Facebook and be a part of something exceptional.
Range Resources 2000 Turkeys Cash Drive is Wednesday from 8:30 till 2:30. Range volunteers and students from school districts across Washington County, including McGuffey, Avella, Charleroi, Washington, Trinity, Fort Cherry, Chartiers Houston, and Western Area Career and Technology Center, and college students from W&J will be accepting donations near the Farmers Market Pavilion in Washington and in Canonsburg near Chico Bocello and ARC Human Services. Donate cash or online with the QR code. Range Resources will match donations up to $25,000. Please donate to 2000 Turkeys Wednesday and help Washington County residents in need enjoy a traditional Thanksgiving dinner.
W&J scoring touchdowns on each of its first six possessions and roll on to the 45-0 win here at Allegheny this afternoon. Just a couple of numbers for you. Jake Pugh, I have unofficially with five touchdown passes, 305 yards passing today. That's a little less than half of the that's a little over half of the 449 that he needed to pass Jason Bear all time. So heading into the playoff game for W&J in a week or 2 weeks, depending on when it works out, Jake Pugh is about 145 yards shy of fifth place all time on the career passing yards. He has passed Jason Bear and Chris Edwards with now 92 career touchdown passes, has thrown at least one in the last 27 games, and has 105 career combined touchdowns passing and rushing. John Peduzzi this afternoon with unofficially 102 yards passing has eclipsed Todd Fry for the fourth place in the all-time receiving yards, 3,047 yards receiving now for John Peduzzi. Again, that is fourth place all-time. Peduzzi with two touchdowns this afternoon. He has tied Aaron Kreps for third on the all-time list and is one shy of second place Andrew Wolf. Jake McCosko today passed the 1,000-yard receiving mark for the season. Has 134 yards unofficially today. That leaves him 12 yards shy of 10th place and passing Aaron Kreps. And Dawson Dietz with a sack and a tackle for loss has passed Stefan Swinkowski for fourth all-time in TFLs and has tied Mike Bruder for fifth place with now 30 and a half sacks on the season. So now it'll be a much more comfortable watch of the selection show tomorrow for the Red and Black. They know they have the AQ in hand and will be going in as the President's Athletic Conference champion. It will be at least a shared championship two ways. W&J and Grove City now have both clinched a share of the conference championship. Carnegie Mellon is defending a 10-point lead, trying to hang on to that, though. Case Western was deep in CMU territory last that we checked. Big thank you to our broadcast sponsors making it possible. Many of these have been with us. John Patricic's been with us the entire season. Community Bank and Advanced Orthopedics and Rehabilitation have been with us for most of the season as well, and we certainly appreciate their support. And we know our good friends at Slovenian Savings and Loan, the Bucar Group, and the Day Insurance Agency, folks that made it possible for us to do what we do all year long, are right there, and we'll be in touch with them as we move to the NCAA playoffs. Speaking of which, Case Western with a touchdown to pull to within three of Carnegie Mellon. They have almost the entire fourth quarter to play. It is CMU 26, Case Western 23. For CMU, if they win today, if they go on and win that game, they'll likely, almost certainly be in the NCAA tournament. If they lose, they will almost certainly not make the tournament field at 8-2, and will exit the conference after that game today. This will be their final conference regular season game, and we'll see whether or not they can prevail and hang on to beat Case Western. About 14 minutes left in that game, and a big thanks to John and Jack Sacco, who just light my text message dinger up all Friday night and throughout the day on Saturday, with the exception of those times when one or both of them are sitting right next to me in the broadcast booth, and we're looking forward to doing some more of that. Big thank you to Advanced Orthopedics and Rehabilitation and Advanced Surgical Hospital. Community Bank, recognized as one of America's best regional banks, online at cb.bank. And Attorney John Patrisic, nearly 30 years of experience, gives your case the attention it deserves. And a proud Papa W&J alum, John Patrisic, son Owen, will finish the regular season as W&J's rushing leader for the second year in a row. Patrisic will finish with about 515 rushing yards in the regular season. Kobe DeRosa will finish at about 408 in the regular season. Troy Volpatti with a 75-yard rush total this afternoon. So he'll be at 238 at the end of the regular season. And the three-headed running attack putting it all together for the Presidents here. Final score, Geneva 33, Waynesburg 6. The Geneva Golden Tornado will finish at 5-5 for Gino DeMarco, and will be in all alone in sixth place, middle of the pack, but at 5-5. Waynesburg finishes 4-6. They will be seventh in the league this year. Teal was trying to hold off Bethany. Teal is up 30-23, and they just get an interception to snuff out a late Bethany drive. So Teal is going to improve to 3-7. Bethany, St. Vincent are both, and Allegheny, all going to finish at 1-9 in the conference. Jacob Knisner, our producer in our downtown Washington studios, our thanks to Jacob for his work all year long. We've got the NFL action tomorrow. We've got college football coming your way tonight. NFL action tomorrow. Steelers, Ravens at noon. Sunday night football. Monday night football. Next Saturday, we know we'll be at Acrisure Stadium for Fort Cherry and Clairton, the 1A title game, and then Pine Richland Peters Township in the 5A championship. And sometime tomorrow afternoon, we'll get word on where and when W&J will begin its NCAA tournament run for the first time since 2018. That'll do it. Big tip of the cap to Sean King and the entire crew here at Allegheny, always taking great care of us. Been a while since we'd been here, but the Presidents come to Meadville today and get an impressive win against the Allegheny Gators and lock up that automatic bid to the tournament. For all of us at WJPA Sports, I'm Bob Gregg. Thank you so much for being with us. This has been a presentation of the WJPA Sports Network. Your final score, Washington and Jefferson 45, Allegheny nothing.